ladies and gentlemen. My name is Matt Tardio, and I'm filling in this morning for Brianna Morello. And thank you guys for joining me over here on American Journal. We got some huge stories that are coming up for you guys, not just in this hour, but also when Brianna gets on the show. Guess what? She's going to be bringing on Rudy Giuliani. You guys aren't going to want to miss that in the third hour of the show. In the first hour coming up for you guys, I'm bringing on a special guest, my friend Nate Vance. We're going to be going over all things overseas and how it actually pertains to the United States. With everything that's going on over inside of Minneapolis, I think that a lot of Americans are losing sight that the United States may very well be getting ready to bomb Iran. Over inside of Jordan, we've moved in three squadrons of F-15 fighter jets. We've moved aerial defense assets over into Israel and into the Middle East. Rumors of upwards of 25,000 U.S. troops have gone into Iraq. Now, with all of that being said, I don't think it's just about Iran. Neither does Nate. We actually think that it has to do with Russia. We think it has to do with China and why they're meddling inside of the United States. You guys see silver prices that are skyrocketing right now. Yesterday, they reached all the way up to, what, $118 an ounce, I think, for spot price before they ended up going down. Yeah, China's behind a lot of that. And we're going to talk about why today for you guys as well. Going into the second half, I'm also bringing on another special guest. Her name is Angela Rose. Angela was actually an insider over inside of Minneapolis. She was hanging out with Kim Higbee, and she was hanging out with Nick Sorter, and she managed to infiltrate her way into one of those leftist extremist organizations over in Minneapolis. And you're not going to believe some of the stuff that she actually has to say. This is going to make one great show. I promise you guys, you're not going to want to miss it. You're going to most certainly want to stick around. Now, before we get into all that, I want to tell you guys that I got a tip off from a friend. His name is Corey Guro over in California. He runs something that's called the GOAT Initiative. And Corey put this image out on social media the other day, but it was very, very blurred out. So I reached out to him because what Corey said is that the Mexican military had actually made its way into the United States of America. And when I reached out to Corey, I said, Corey, brother, I can't see a dang thing on this photo. You got to give me something more. This man sent me videos. This man sent me photographs. And beyond any doubt in my mind, we had armed Mexican military on U.S. soil last week. And it was the same day that the FBI wanted to make sure that they announced the arrest of their top 10 fugitive over inside of Mexico. You know, the major drug cartel that used to be an Olympic athlete. Yeah, well, the same day that happened, for some reason, people dressed in Mexican uniforms ended up walking over into the United States of America. Crazy part about this is that it wasn't just the Mexican military just doing this on their own. From what I have heard, it sounds like a Customs and Border Patrol supervisor actually approved this madness coming over into the United States of America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these guys were armed. And we're talking a platoon-sized element. For you guys that are not familiar with the military, a platoon-sized element, you're talking maybe upwards of 30 people walking on U.S. soil. And they weren't just walking on U.S. soil. They were on private property. They were shaking door handles, and they were looking inside. Now, if the rumors are true that CBP actually approved the Mexican military to come on U.S. soil, I got some major questions. What would have happened if they would have ended up shooting an American citizen? And by the way, there was no federal officers that were present when all of this was going on. No, they just let them wander onto U.S. soil. Now, reached out and I spoke with Brianna about this morning. She's reaching over to DHS to try to get a statement from them on the matter to validate it. We're going to see if they own up to it. And if they don't own up to it, well, I think they're going to have some problems on their hands because, again, photographic and video evidence. Armed Mexican troops, U.S. soil. Approved by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a problem. I can't even begin to tell you how disgusting that is. You know, we're talking about insurrections here in the United States. We're talking about possibly going to war with Iran. We're talking about all of these other things. Now, before you even think to question Corey on this, you got to understand, Corey has testified before Congress about the issues that he has down at the border. He's found cell phones with Chinese intelligence on them, telling them to recruit people to spy on U.S. naval stations, things of that nature. He's had Tulsi Gabbard come visit him. He's had Joe Kent come visit him. Tons and tons of people. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around for this next hour. You're not going to want to miss it. I got Nate Vance coming up for you next. You're going to love it.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And is it declared war? The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Journal. I am your host for this morning, Matt Tardio. And like I said before, Brianna, she's going to be back here in just a little bit. You're going to catch her at the top of the hour coming in with special guests like Rudy Giuliani coming at you. Now, this hour, I've got two great guests that are coming up for you. I've got Nate Vance and I've got Angela Rose. Nate Vance is going to be joining me here in just a sec. And we're going to be talking about Iran. We're going to be talking about Russia and we're going to be talking about China and how all of that ties in and why we might be going to war with Iran in the very near future. And it's not going to look anything like the 12-day war. The U.S. military is stockpiling themselves over inside of the Middle East. We've got three squadrons of F-15s, three over inside of Jordan. We've got, what do you want to call them? Aircraft carriers that are moving in over outside of Iran as we speak. Earlier this month, Donald Trump said, hey, the United States, we're locked and loaded and ready to go if you continue to kill your civilians. Now, our government would like you to believe that this is about Iran killing their people. That's what the government wants you to think. Donald Trump, he came out earlier this month and stated that if they carry through with some of these executions that were going to take place during the uprisings over there, that, well, the United States is going to be forced to respond. We're going to have to do something about it. He also came out and he said that he spoke with Iran and he's very pleased because they're not going to be killing any more of their people. Meanwhile, what actually happened is Iran ends up shutting off the internet and the entire country goes dark. Elon Musk tried to fix it by throwing in Starlink. And having Starlink work well, then they went and they cut off Starlink and the people couldn't even get Starlink connection. As a matter of fact, anybody over inside of Iran that ended up getting caught with Starlink was being tried as spies. The IRGC has taken over hospitals and the new death toll that I'm being told is upwards of 50,000 dead. Over inside the media, we're talking about maybe 10 to 20,000 that the IRGC has killed. You've got Shia militias that are flowing in from Iraq that are going in and working side by side with the IRGC. Yesterday, Joe Kent was over inside of Iraq. One of the things that Joe Kent spoke with the Iraqis about was peaceful transfers of ISIS detainees going into Iraq from the Syrian control. We won't even talk about why the administration decided it'd be a good idea to work side by side with al-Jawlani, a former al-Qaeda terrorist. He used to be great friends with this guy. He would go by the name of al-Baghdadi. Trump talked famously about killing him. He was the former leader of ISIS. Yeah, him and Jawlani, the leader of Syria, they used to be good friends. Well, now they're allegedly turning over ISIS fighters to U.S. forces or Iraqi forces, not sure which one. And Joe was busy over inside of Iraq making sure that the Shia militias were being disbanded because they're going into Iran and killing everybody. But what does this have to do with the United States? Very good question. When we start taking a look at Venezuela, we have huge questions. Why did the United States decide to go after Venezuela? Well, Venezuela and their drug running, right? That's what we were told. We have Maduro. We have cocaine flowing between Colombia and we have cocaine flowing out of Colombia and into Venezuela. But Venezuela isn't even in the top five countries that ship drugs into the United States of America. Not even the top five. So what were we doing over there? Well, we started to figure it out when we noticed that the boats that the U.S. started interdicting, which, by the way, we decided to say that we're going after them due to oil sanctions because of some deal gone bad decades ago. And the U.S. is going to recoup its oil, right? Because we don't have enough oil. We've got record low oil prices and everything else, which is insane to me. Well, one of those boats that the U.S. tried to interdict, known as the Bella One, actually took off running before the U.S. could get to it. And the U.S. Coast Guard chased it all across the ocean until it got pretty much north of the U.K. And then Russia decided it'd be a good idea to dispatch a nuclear sub after it. Ends up not hitting the mainstream media. Nobody really cared about it. We interdicted the vessel. But why did Russia send a nuclear sub after the Bella One in order to protect it? Why did the Bella 1 reflag itself to a Russian vessel after it flicked its transponder off and popped off the radar? Nobody knew where it was at, minus the Coast Guard that was trailing it. And then the big question, why did the U.S. send our Tier 1 tactical units to go and take over that boat? And that's not a mistake. And no, I'm not randomly stating that. Yeah, we sent our top tier military personnel to go and raid that vessel and take over an oil tanker that was being guarded by a Russian nuclear submarine. Well, we ended up getting the answer maybe a week ago. We had over 3 tons of gold that were found on that boat. 3 tons of gold aboard that. And who is the oil tanker being operated by? The IRGC, the Iranian Foreign Terror Organization, designated by the United States of America and Canada, and now others over in the EU are also looking at it, wondering whether or not they're going to designate them as an FTO. Well, what's the IRGC got to do all this? Well, the IRGC has been funneling oil from Venezuela up to China. And we want to know, why does China play into this? Well, again, I referenced the silver spot price yesterday that reached $118 an ounce before it went down to, I think, the low 100s. And then the last I checked before I went live on air, it ended up jumping up to 112 an ounce. I mean, it's huge. It just continues to climb. Over in Shanghai, the silver price is trading at $130+ an ounce. COMEX is rumored to be ridiculously low, and within the next month, it could be reaching critical levels. And that's a problem. We have failure on deliveries. All of a sudden, we have a failure in the U.S. dollar. Everybody loses faith in it. Back in November, India tried to corner the market for the LBMA. They ended up demanding delivery from the LBMA and drained the entire vault for the LBMA of silver. Now, India is a BRICS nation. China has been working very closely with Russia, obviously, with their war in Ukraine. Russia has a big, big problem when it comes to getting their monetary value out of their oil because of the amount of sanctions that the U.S. ended up leveraging on it. In order to get money, which, by the way, their oil exports account for 30% of their GDP. 30% of their GDP goes from Russia's oil exports, and the U.S. slaps sanctions all over it. You guys remember the first signal gate? Not the signal gate that we're talking about right now, but the very, very first signal gate that came out during the first couple months of the Trump admin, when the U.S. had multiple aircraft carriers over in the Red Sea and were bombing the crap out of Yemen. I want to say it was Vice President Vance, which I can't wait for Nate to get it here. I want to say it was Vice President Vance that actually made the statement that I hope the EU knows that we're bailing them out again. Now, why would he say that? Well, because the Houthis are controlled by the IRGC. The Houthis are the ones that currently run Yemen. They are a foreign terror organization designated by the United States of America, and they've been attacking merchant vessels over in the Red Sea for quite some time. Because of that, the U.S. decided it'd be a good idea to go and bomb the crap out of them. Everyone wanted to point their fingers and go, oh, but Israel. Well, Israel can handle a couple of drones and a ballistic missile or two shot by the Houthis. But what the EU and what the entire world can't stand is our trade being disrupted by the Houthis, which is what Iran was doing. By using the Houthis over in the Red Sea, the U.S. went over and we started bombing them so that we could reopen it. If we reopen the Red Sea, we reestablish international trade. Now, what I'm talking about here is nothing but a war that's been raging behind the scenes between the United States, Russia, China, and the big intermediary in this entire deal has been Iran. And right now, the United States has a very convenient excuse to go in and bomb Iran. They're killing their own people. Well, Iran's been washing money for China, it would seem, and they're certainly doing business with Russia, seeing how they felt like sending over a nuclear sub to guard 3 tons worth of gold. I mean, that's insane to me, the amount of gold that was on that vessel. And the United States sends our tip of the spear after. So, everybody in America is looking, saying, why are we getting involved in another war over in the Middle East? Well, because for the last decade plus, well, I'd actually say the better part of 2 decades, underneath all of this democratic rule here in the United States of America, with the Democrats running wild, we've got assumptions of Joe Biden and his son doing business with China and Russia. Can't forget all of that. It would certainly seem like the U.S. has been played a fool. All of our exports are being sent, you know, overseas. And if we need stuff, we're going to end up getting it back from somewhere. Well, China decided that they were going to have massive export restrictions on silver starting on January 1st. Last year, the United States government decided to list silver as a critical mineral. A month after November, December, China decided to make the announcement that it was going to be sanctioning 27 U.S. defense industry companies companies like Lockheed Martin. You think they're going to get any silver? You know what silver is really important to? It's really important to things like data centers. It's really important to our, you know, infrastructure here in the United States. But it's also extremely, extremely critical to the defense industry. The defense industry, you need it for fighter jets. You need it for guidance systems. You need it for all of those little microprocessors, all sorts of things that we use. There's no substitute for silver right now. And China is hoarding it while the U.S. is dwindling in its supply. And China right now is paying over $20 an ounce in the United States. Who do you think they're going to sell that to? And do you think the banks that are holding onto the hoards of it here in the United States, you think any of these banks are going to give it up at the current price? No, they're going to hold on to it. They're going to hold on to it so that they can drive the price higher. Unless the United States government steps in and forces them to do it, but that can only last so long. We've been in a supply deficit for the last 5 years, and China knows this, and they've been playing the game. They've been playing the game hard. And they've been able to wash the money. They've been able to do all sorts of dirty things to the United States simply by using Iran. And Russia, well, Russia has benefited vastly from Iran. Russia has been able to, how do I want to say this, supply 30% of the aerial munitions that were flying across the Russian border into Ukraine were drones being supplied by Iran for the first couple of years of the war. In return, Russia decided it would be a good idea to give them nuclear scientists to work on their uranium enrichment projects. You guys remember the 12-day war in June of last year, all the way back then, and we're wondering, why aren't we just going in and bombing them? We had the United States screaming, these guys have enriched uranium. Up to 87%, according to the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. Up to 87%. That is an insane number. You don't need it for that. Anything over 20, I mean, medical, maybe you can get 20 out of. 60% is the widely cited number, but no, the IAEA actually cited and said that they found two undisclosed locations that Iran did not disclose to them outside of Tehran, where they found trace elements of up to 87% enriched uranium. That's nuts. And then the U.S. held off forever. Why did we hold off forever? Well, we needed some help from Russia, most likely. If Iran was going to give up their enriched uranium, then we would need somebody to go in and remove it. The IRGC is not going to let the United States of America do it. Why would they? No, they need somebody that they've been working with that's also qualified to do these things. And who better than Russia? Because they have scientists on the ground already, and they've been working with them, and Iran and Russia trust each other for the most part. Well, we held off on striking for the longest time. Why would we hold off on striking? Well, because Russia had over 100 scientists on the ground over inside of Iran. That's absolutely troubling. We had to allow them to have time to move their scientists off those nuclear sites, because if we would have bombed Russian scientists over inside of Iran, we would have potentially started World War III and pissed Russia off even more. Which then brings up Greenland. The United States decided it would be a great idea. The Trump admin has been scrambling to get a hold of Greenland. Why? Well, we now have the answer, the Golden Dome. According to the Trump administration, we need it. And they're not wrong. Greenland sits right in between the United States and Russia, like North America and Russia. If you were to draw a line on a globe going between Russia and the United States, Greenland would fall pretty much right in the middle of it. So we're worried about their ICBM threat. We had a wide open back door to Russia this entire time underneath the Biden administration, where Russia could have came and attacked the United States, and we would have been extremely vulnerable to the Russian ICBM threat. In order to counter that, in order to fix it, well, we got to put some assets over inside of Greenland. Why? Why is Russia so pissed off at the United States? And I think the answer is Russia is looking at doing everything they can in order to cripple the U.S. dollar, and China is playing them. I think China is actually behind this entire deal, personally. I believe it's China. And so, in my opinion, we have a huge problem here. We have two other world superpowers. We have Russia and we have China that are working with a country that's a foreign terror organization. Like, the entire IRGC is labeled as a foreign terror organization. What's worse is they're led by the Ayatollah. The IRGC answers directly to the Ayatollah. And if we want to fix the situation over in Iran, and by the way, the actual Iranian people, they're claiming that less than 30% of the country is actually even Muslim. They've been burning mosques over inside of the country. Over the last weekend, rumors came out that Iran was gassing its own people. Gassing. Like Saddam Hussein did with the Kurds. I don't even want to know what those numbers are. And still the U.S. hasn't intervened yet. Why? The Ayatollah said that he ended up moving a bunch of the enriched uranium because we had to let the Russian scientists move. Leadership of Iran said that they moved a bunch of the enriched uranium, and we didn't bury crap when we dropped our 30,000-pound bombs on Fordow. You know, the bombs that the U.S. was working on for like 20-plus years to make sure that we actually were capable of destroying that target. A lot of people don't even know that. Those 30,000-pound bombs that we dropped on Iran, they were specifically designed for that target. We conducted over 100 test strikes using those bombs just to narrow it in. That's how much the U.S. hated Fordow. And we bombed the crap out of it. And then Iran says, well, you guys took too long and we moved a bunch of our enriched uranium. Kind of a problem. Well, in order to solve this, we would have to get rid of the IRGC. We would have to cripple the regime. And right now there's a massive uprising and it seems like a good time for the United States to go in and strike the regime. But there's one problem, one big problem. And the problem is the Ayatollah is also one of two religious leaders for the Shia, or the Shiite Muslims, if you will. They don't account for the vast majority of Muslims. Sunnis do. They believe it's somewhere around 80% of all Muslims are Sunni, but still 20% Shia. And their leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini. And if we end up killing him, we kill a religious figure, a huge religious figure, massive religious figure. You want to see radical Islam come together? Take out the Ayatollah. So what are we going to do? I think the United States is in kind of a little bit of a pickle here. And I think the Ayatollah's religious status is protecting him from U.S. strikes. Before you say that the United States isn't under direct threat from Russia, I'd refer you guys over to a DHS report from last year. In this DHS report from last year, the United States said that it had thwarted several potential lethal terrorist attacks on U.S. soil that were going to be originating from Iran, of all places. And then we look at things like Donald Trump's assassination attempts. The gentleman down in Florida that showed up at Mar-a-Lago and hid in the bushes several hours before Trump was supposed to be there. How did he know? How did he know to be in that very specific location? I got told that they were sitting over dinner and discussing it over dinner the night before. And that's when they decided to go and play golf the next day. Around 9 p.m. at night, somewhere around there. And then 4 hours later, this guy decides to sneak his butt into the woods outside Mar-a-Lago. I don't think so. To me, that sounds like foreign intelligence actually was controlling somebody and helping him out, whether it be Russia, whether it be Iran, whether it be China. That's pretty freaking wild to me. And yes, we do have issues with Iran over here in the United States. Holding before me a summary of issues. You know, we were talking about going into Niger and bombing Niger earlier this year. And we did, allegedly, ended up taking out some bad terrorists over there. But all of the footage that ended up coming out of that didn't really look like we hit anything but some open fields and maybe some weapons caches. And then I seen this report. And again, from the Formaline Influence Center, Russia influence contributed to Niger's decision to force withdrawal of U.S. troops. In 2024, Niger compelled the withdrawal of U.S. troops from the Central African country. How are they doing it? Well, they're doing it through online influence and things of that nature, basically forcing the United States government to pull its troops out of there, which is really sad. Another one, Chinese social media adopted fake American personas to promote protests against rare earth processing facilities in Texas and Oklahoma. Remember how I told you that the United States is kind of in a bit of a pickle when it comes to silver? It's in a bit of a pickle when it comes to these critical minerals. Well, guess what's over inside of Nigeria? I hope I'm not the only one that knows this. Over inside of Nigeria, you end up having the largest lithium deposit in Africa. Largest lithium deposit in Africa. And wouldn't you know it, the United States, a United States-based company, tried to run a bid on that in order to get all of the lithium out of there because we need control over these critical minerals. You need lithium for several different things. Guess what company it was? Elon Musk. Elon Musk put a bid in on it and they turned him down. But do you know whose offer they actually accepted? Well, they happened to accept China's offer. So China now controls it. And by the way, you know, the Trump administration says that we had great communication with them and we were working with them the entire time for those terrorist strikes over there. That's what they said. I'm pretty sure they failed to mention that the United States is pretty much cut off from them from now on. No U.S. citizens are allowed to travel over there. The last I checked, that's a bit of a problem. If we had such great communication and we were helping them out and taking out all of these terrorists, well, why? And by the way, when we're talking about people being massacred and murdered inside over there, I believe, you know, we were complaining about Christians being massacred. Well, why just there? Why not over inside of Syria where we had Alawites being massacred by the Jolani regime? Doesn't make much sense. But when you start looking at the critical minerals over inside of Nigeria, all of a sudden we have a very eye-opening subject. Did I tell you that the Department of War ended up investing almost $3 billion the other week into a brand new smelter in the United States? Yeah, they teamed up with a very large bank. Department of War is going to maintain 40% of that smelter. It's the first one to open up in the United States in decades, the best of my research I've been able to find. So behind the scenes on everything, we have Trump going in and removing Maduro because Maduro, you know, he's a narco terrorist. I'm sure it had nothing to do with his affiliations with Russia and moving gold and moving oil. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the IRGC. I'm sure it has nothing to do with cutting any of that out. I'm sure the massive critical mineral deposits that are inside of that country, and it's got nothing to do with that. Do you guys know that China ended up lending Maduro a metric buttload of money while Maduro was in office? They ended up lending him all this money. Maduro was paying it back with oil exports. And who's moving the oil? Iran. So we want to hurt China because China's hurting us economically. What do? We cut China out of the Western Hemisphere. And we end up making sure that they can't get paid back for all of that money that they ended up sending to Maduro. How do we do that? We end up sanctioning the oil by some decades-old deal gone bad. That's what we do. And then we start getting a hold of all these ships. Oh, by the way, I totally forgot to tell you this. That same ship that had tons of Russian gold on it, allegedly Russian gold on it, that same ship, guess what else it had? It had new guidance packages and weapons components, or so I'm being told, that were being moved into Venezuela. Months ago, China was circling around Taiwan, and they take it. They wanted to take it bad. They had massive military drills, almost cut it off. Well, allegedly, the IRGC was moving weapons into Venezuela so that they could attack the lower half of the United States of America. That also was reported to me to be on that ship. That's insane. Why do we not have anybody coming out? We all hear about, you know, Russiagate, but how come nobody talks about Irangate? Listen to this other one. Again, report coming out from the FMIC, Foreign Malign Influence Center. Iran hacked and leaked sensitive data from the Trump campaign in 2024. Imagine that. So Iran's also behind that as well. It almost seems to me like we've got some very big issues going on over here in the United States of America, and nobody wants to even bring it up. How in the world is it that we have all of these things going on and the United States government is trying to sell the strike on Iran to you off as helping out the Iranian people who are being massacred and gassed, by the way? We don't care about them. I think Iran could massacre whoever they want. I'll see you guys back in just a couple minutes when we're bringing on Angela Rose inside Minnesota.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to American Journal. I am your host for the hour, Matt Tardio. We got Brianna coming up here in the next 30 minutes, and she's got a special guest, Rudy Giuliani, coming up for you. But this hour, I have a special guest for you. I'm about to bring on Angela Rose. She infiltrated one of those leftist cult freaking groups over inside of Minnesota. We've got Signalgate right now that's going on, blowing the freaking roof on the corruption over inside of Minnesota. And she was hanging out with Nick Sorter. She was hanging out with Cam Higby. She also runs a YouTube channel, which you guys can find her at Angela Rose. She's also got an X account. I highly suggest you guys go over and find her and follow her, because she's got some really good information. She's been digging into these folks left and right. I don't know anybody else that could possibly infiltrate into any of these groups other than Angela. So Angela, ma'am, welcome to the show. It's good to have you on. So happy
Thank
that
you
were able to make it. Yeah.
Thanks All for right. the lovely so. Introduction. It's great to be here. And I'm excited to converse. It's important that we have these conversations because I believe that America maybe has forgotten about something that we swore to never forget about. And now there's this whole entire network that has been created to protect this group of individuals that can pose a serious threat to our country. So happy to have this conversation.
They are a serious threat to our country. I've got this tweet I'm holding onto right here. It went viral yesterday. Like, I think it's up to like 30 million views, which is insane. And I'm going to read over the first paragraph. And the guy says, As a former Special Forces warrant officer with multiple rotations running counterinsurgency operations, both hunting insurgents and trying to separate them from sympathetic populations, I've seen organized resistance up close. From Anbar to Helmand, the pattern is familiar. Spotters, cutouts, dead drops, or modern equivalents. Disciplined comms, role specialization, and a willingness to absorb casualties while bleeding the stronger force slowly. What's unfolding in Minneapolis right now isn't protest. It's low-level insurgency infrastructure built by people who've clearly studied the playbook. Now, again, yeah, I, as a former Green Beret myself, I tend to agree with him with a lot of the different things that we're seeing. Now, I think that some of the people might be not nearly as smart, which is crazy for a bunch of people with flip-flops and AKs or peasants with AKs or PWACs, as we like to call them, right? But I don't think they're nearly as smart as them because not a strike against your intelligence, but you got to meet one of these special individuals while you're over there and you infiltrated the group. And the crazy thing to me about it was everything that we've seen on TV has been this rotational security, right? Where they're over and they're driving around. But you talking to this lady right here, one, she seems dumb as a rock, but two, I found it very interesting that she actually was going over static security, correct? Like she was standing in a location and then they were blasting it out on the alert system. Is that right?
Yeah. So she even told me that in the front glass area, that it's a perfect viewing area for them to stay warm and be able to watch. So just so you guys know, here I was at the Carmel Mall, which is filled with a bunch of what appears to be shell businesses, many, many wire transfer businesses. And Matt, you were explaining to me that some of these wire transfer businesses could potentially be sending money to affiliates of Al-Qaeda. These are the people who are responsible for doing 9/11. And yet this woman feels the need to stand in front of this area that you're seeing right now and keep watch to make sure that the people who are running these businesses are safe in case the ICE comes. And yet the entire mall is completely empty.
Whoa, hold the phone. Did you just say that this little insurrection group is guarding some of those wire transfer businesses?
Oh, yes, of course. And I believe that she goes and gets like her tea there because it makes her feel cultured. Like she likes to hang out there, you know, but they also use it as a viewing area.
So because people at home are not going to know what we're talking about. You and I and Walter Kurt, we've all been talking about how some of this money is being moved around, which is through the Hawala transfer centers. Right. It's what we believe. Right. It's alleged. All right. What we believe. And there was that one mosque in particular, the Al-Farouq Mosque, that was named in the Feeding Our Future scam. And it was also named in that one article that I sent to you about the education centers, right, that were hiring foreign teachers at like $5 a pop and charging people thousands of dollars. And then, you know, it's all being funneled through a nonprofit. It's wild. And the nonprofit, by the way, was appears to have been founded by somebody that ended up moving up into state representation past like it's nuts. But you mean to tell me that over inside of where you were at, that this ICE Watch group or whatever they want to call themselves, they're guarding part of the fraud?
Well, it seems like it, because the main places where they operate or are standing stationary ready to dispatch people are areas that are of particular interest, of where there are a lot of illegal migrants or refugees or Somali businesses. That's why they're specifically there, because they know that it's a place that ICE could target, or that they could be investigating these places for fraud. And so, yeah, they're trying to protect them because of these mean stereotypes.
And that's a little wild considering yesterday, the information that ended up getting dropped by Cam Higby on some of the different members of these different, you know, signal groups. Mm-hmm. You have like state representation in there that's handling a lot of these different groups. Some of them that are very close to the governor, maybe a step away from the governor.
I think it's the governor himself.
Wow.
I mean, if you listen to the way that Tim Walz speaks to these protesters and the way that Peggy Flanagan has, they are definitely encouraging this type of behavior. So whether they're in the chat or not, Peggy Flanagan told people to put their bodies on the line. So I believe that speaks volumes.
Okay. So That's wild. I did not expect for you to come out with that today. I didn't see that one coming.
I kind of thought that it was obvious. I thought that it was obvious that where these networks are operating are in places that have the highest Muslim population in the country, or like where all of these businesses are at, like Cedar Riverside, for example. You drive down and there's a bunch of these businesses. I mean, the place where Alex Preti was killed, he was in front of some like weird looking business. So that's where all of this action is taking place. And actually it fills up a large part of Minneapolis, is just these strange businesses. So that's where all of the action is happening. It's to protect the people who own these businesses and just the entire community, you know?
So that speaks to corruption at like a whole new level. And that speaks to insurrection at like a whole new level when we start talking about what's taking place over there, because it's one thing to have people, because that is the general American's view of what's taking place, is that you have these leftists that are running around wild. They're just going over there to protect illegal aliens to make sure that they get alerted when ICE shows up, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that they are guarding and have static security centers around some of these businesses, which might be implicated soon in the fraud scandal, is nuts, mm-hmm. especially when you start saying that we now have leadership from the state of Minnesota that's handling the dispatches and the signal groups, that's sending people mm-hmm. to these locations, almost like they're protecting their very own interests.
Yeah. And that's the thing is what's crazy is a lot of these business owners could be legal, have legal status here in the United States. So a lot of them came to the United States under the temporary protected status, and then they can get a green card, hold that for 5 years, and become a citizen. But in order to do so, they needed to do the oath of allegiance, and they need to pledge allegiance to the United States of America, like we all do every day in school and stuff. But if they break that, then it is treason, and they can be denaturalized and deported, is what my understanding is. And so even though they're citizens and they're saying like, oh, they're going to come for citizens next, if people are committing fraud, like marrying your brother, for example, that's incest. And I'm pretty sure that that's a crime. So that's a crime within itself, but that's also marriage fraud. So either way, it's bad. So Ilhan Omar could potentially be denaturalized and deported. And so, I mean, she's in government, right? So I guess they're all just trying to protect each other. They must have something tied into each other that they're like trying to protect each other. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, no kidding. No kidding they would be trying to protect us. So you could be telling me that this petty guy didn't give himself up for an illegal alien, but to potentially protect a bigger chunk of the fraud that we're looking, like well, that we're looking into over there.
They're told that it's what they're doing is like the best use of their time, that they're heroes, that they're protecting America from what looks exactly like Nazi Germany or something like that. So they believe that what they're doing is just, you know, but it is just complete and utter nonsense. They've been lied to so, so much. And they have Tim Walz, Peggy Flanagan, among others, encouraging them to revolt against the government, basically. You have people.
Yeah, they're cannon fodder.
Mm-hmm.
They're cannon fodder. They're useful idiots. You know, this guy I met over inside of Portland when I was over there, really, really nice guy. And he was pulling security for somebody. His name's Travis. Travis ended up getting, fine yesterday by somebody that said, I know your daughter and I know where she is.
Wow.
And he ended up blasting it out over X. And so when you say that, like these people, you know, everybody wants to know, like, why is it that these people are so emboldened to go out and do the things that they do? And, you know, we've talked about having, you know, the police chief for the city of Minneapolis. We've talked about, you know, obviously some of the language out of Tim Walz and, you know, Ellis and all of these other people that are over there, right? Even mm-hmm. the mayor of St. Paul, where you had that church get overran the other day, mayor of St. Paul basically said that they didn't do anything wrong. Why? Because they're ripping children out of schools. So why shouldn't their, you know, church services be disrupted? Words to that effect.
They're Christian churches, yet a mosque can fraud their congregation, and I guess that's fine. It's just crazy that this is exclusively happening in Minneapolis. We haven't seen American lives be lost because of the deportations until Minneapolis. So why are they going so overboard to protect the Somali community specifically. It's very bizarre to me. It seems almost like a religious thing. People are pointing out that in what building is it that has some type of satanic like thing written out? Did you see that, Matt?
You pick one. No, I didn't see that one. No. But I find it very odd, especially yesterday, that we had Trump come out and say that he had a very good call with Tim Walz, and that Tim Walz is about to, you know, play ball basically. And he wants the same thing that the United States does, you know, and this happens the exact same day. This happens the exact same day that the Signalgate 2026 is what I'm calling it ended up dumping. And then a little bit later, we end up discovering, you know, and Trump openly talks about it. He's sending Tom Homan over there, you know, a guy that was praised underneath Obama that ended up getting a freaking award from Obama for over 900,000 illegals that he ended up deporting and getting out of the United States of America. Now Tom Homan's going in there and they come out with a false narrative. But the point being that what you just mentioned, I think, signals to something very much larger, very, very much larger. You know, we've heard about the Bureau looking into, all of the Minnesota fraud, looking into government offices, looking into government officials and how all that's tied together. And what you just described, I think, opens it up to a brand new scale, right? Because whenever you're looking at it, digging into people, whenever you're looking at doing law enforcement actions, you're always looking at like, okay, how can one thing lead to another? And the best way I would bring this up, which is why people hate traffic laws, right? Cops pull you over for having a tail light or a license plate light that's out. And then they walk up and they go, smells like weed. And then they can open your door and search your car, right? And to me, this is very, very similar. I think this might be the, it smells like weed inside of your car thing that, Cam ended up dumping yesterday. And the fact that all of these other officials are out there on it, I think that it speaks volumes, especially because you have Tim Walz now suddenly wanting to play ball. Last night, the Minnesota State Police ended up showing up on scene at the hotel, right? Like quicker than anything we've ever seen. And they actually ended up doing a really good job in arresting people. And the question is, why weren't they doing that literally the entire time? And I think now we have our answer now that you brought that up.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it sounds like.
It seems like a lot of people are curious as to why we are in this negotiation phase with Tim Walz. I believe the most negotiating that we should do with him is we'll allow you to have oatmeal and some time to exercise in jail.
Right. Yeah. No, it's always like, all right, can I get off a little bit lighter? First, he's not going to be running for governor again. Then, you know, he's going to be cooperating. Then we have the state police that are running in there, and all of this is coming out as we're getting more and more information. I think we're going to actually start seeing more and more people in handcuffs in the very near future because of all this. I wanted to talk to you about something. You were there the day that Nick Sorter had his camera stolen from him and that you were in the vehicle when it happened. And then he ended up getting a drug down the highway, or I'm sorry, not down the highway, but down the sidewalk. You know, like after this, he's like hanging, like, I don't know if he got stuck on the door handle or what, but she's like hauling butt down the sidewalk and almost killed the guy, you know, running off of them. And you ended up sharing a video the next day that ended up showing the same lady you had before and after of like the suspect, new license plate information. Amazing work, by the way. But I had a question for you. Because I noticed that you have all of these people out there, and now we have a much better insight to how these networks work. Mm-hmm. When you first see these people that are out there, and from your information that you ended up getting from that thing over inside of the mall, how quickly is their response? Like how quick, how fast do they end up responding? How coordinated is this response for these people to come out?
So I believe the first day that we were there, because we were there the night before just driving around, we were looking at the businesses and this apartment complex that apparently had received $30 million in government funds. And so just bizarre stuff. We were driving around that night and we began to be followed probably, I would say, around 30 minutes later. But the next day when we went in, we were not there for more than 10 minutes. I mean, we went to one location that is the House of Bulls because we were showing Cam it, and it's like this art place. And so we went straight there. And as soon as we were leaving, there was a car that had spotted us. So I'm guessing that on day number one, they collected our information, and that is how on day number two, they were able to dispatch a lot quicker, because the first day they didn't really notice us, but they have this warnings of, okay, this is potentially could be an ICE vehicle. And then they mark it with like white, yellow, or red. They put that in one of their documents. And so I believe that after the first day, they marked us as suspicious. And so they dispatched like really fast on the second day. And then because this woman laid on her horn, and they have another document, a piece of the document that says, don't just honk your horn because people are used to the city car sounds. And so this woman's laying on her horn, just making people worried and frantic that something is happening. But yet it was just Nick driving around, but they assumed that he was ICE.
That is insane. That's insane. Okay, so the other thing that we ended up discovering is that they end up having an entire license plate database.
Yes.
Do you think that you guys, so you think that you guys got thrown in that license plate database? Now, as we're talking about corruption and everything else that's taking place over inside of there, we obviously, like, it certainly appears, excuse me, not obviously, but it certainly appears that we have government officials that are tied into this at very, very high levels. It would not surprise me if we have law enforcement officers that are, for lack of better terms, sympathetic to the cause that may be running these plates and letting people know whether or not they're federal vehicles or not. Now, that's a problem for that law enforcement officer in particular, or maybe the series of them that could be doing this, because it actually puts a stamp within the system. And it says this person looked at this date and this time. You get special access to that. So they'll be able to trace those people down. Did you notice, well, number one, how long did it take the police to respond? And then how is their response and their reaction to you guys?
I mean, it's almost irrelevant at this point. It's almost like they didn't really exist because, I mean, the car was surrounded for, I don't know, a long time before the police came. And actually, my understanding is that the police only came because somebody else called the police and they thought that Nick was dragging somebody with their car. So they received false information and that's the reason why they actually came. And they were not helpful. There's videos of them telling us that we need to leave. And so it doesn't make sense why we would need to leave when we were the victims in the situation. And we didn't do anything wrong. We were just driving around. But Americans are not allowed in certain cities, I guess, which is crazy because these are people that want people to who come here without any documentation to be able to roam the country freely. And yet citizens of the country are not allowed to access certain cities is absolutely insane. So the police were telling us to leave. And again, I'm pretty sure the reason why they got the camera back was thanks to all the users on X and people searching up their license plates, not because of the police. Maybe it was the FBI investigation that is crazy that they had to get involved for something to be done.
So I saw a clip and it had Nick asking, I think it could have been you or it could have been Cam if you called the police. Did one of you guys call the cops? Because the fact that the police showed up and their first reaction, if I heard you correctly, what I'm assuming, what I'm drawing in my mind, is that when the police showed up, they accused Nick of almost killing the lady that stole his camera. Is that right?
My understanding is that the reason why the police came is because they thought that the red car that had dragged somebody was the car that we were in.
That's insane. So the police came for that very reason. And you're like, no, we're actually in this car. That lady stole my stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, well, you guys just need to leave town.
Yeah, exactly. They were kind of rude, too. I mean, it's also awkward when they ask you for the description of the person, and she was literally just covered head to toe. I'm talking face mask, burqa, glasses on, gloves on, covered head to toe. I mean, how are you supposed to give a description of this person? It's almost comical.
Yeah, just a overweight, middle-aged woman, burqa, head to toe, black block, jihadist black block, we'll call it. Jihadist black block. It's freaking nuts. Absolutely nuts. Do you think the police are complicit in this?
Well, it did seem kind of like they were defending them. They're like, they don't want to. They're just upset. They don't want to give us any information. They're not going to help us because these people all know each other. And so we're standing there just like, okay, who took the camera? Just give it back. You know, just give it back to us. You know, call them and tell them to give it back. And because they're like family and all connected and stuff. And actually, it's so funny that it was tied into an autism center, the license plates, just so convenient. And But yeah, they were just like, you guys need to leave, and basically defending them, saying, oh, they're not going to help us, so you guys just need to leave. Just call it a loss, pretty much.
Well, if it's tied into an autism center, it kind of makes sense if the police are going to be protecting them, seeing as how you have very high-ranking government officials that are now alleged to be controlling the dispatch of all of these other people, you know, and sending them over to protect the different businesses. And even you outlined, you know, the one in place that you infiltrated, they ended up pulling static security on some of these businesses. So if that lady is connected to an autism center, it's to me at this point, because it's so out of control over there, it's not beyond belief that there's directives that are being pushed down from the police or to the police. Hey, if it's involving these individuals, let it go.
Yeah.
Like that would not surprise me at all. I mean, we're talking about billions. I think the number Trump put out in Minnesota fraud was 20 billion. If I remember right, that was the number, but 20 billion. You know, the last high figure I remember reading was like 9 billion. 20 billion greases a lot of wheels. That greases a buttload of wheels. That gets you into some very serious places.
Yeah, that's almost as much as Gavin Newsom's train.
Oh, Lord, don't get me started on Gavin. Sorry, that threw me for a loop. That's a good joke. did you notice any difference in these folks that showed up versus ones that were just kind of there? Like, did you have the more violent people that were responding, the more confrontational people that were responding versus the ones that you first encountered? Like, does it seem like the people that are coming over the scene are immediately confrontational, or are they just kind of off the side?
It's almost like the people that first show up they're very reckless. And we were talking about earlier how these people don't seem very smart. And I feel like that's why they put kind of these women on the front lines, because they just look silly and like very frantic, and they don't really know how to drive properly, honestly. Like, they're backing up their car in random places and then putting it in drive and then like trying to follow us into parking lots, but just absolutely failing. And so like they're just there to try to get the license plate number and then follow us and keep sending out information. And then the more people that come, what I'm wondering is if when all of those crowds start to show up, if they just hear the ruckus and then come outside, or if they have been instructed to do this, to swarm cars.
Yeah.
I mean, they totally have, because that's what they do to ICE agents. You know, they begin recording them and getting in their faces. And those people seem to be the more violent ones, whereas those women just like try to follow you and try to keep up, you know? But then,
Angela, I want to thank you for joining us. Yeah. Angela, I want to thank you for joining us. Everybody, make sure you go follow her over on X. Make sure you go follow her YouTube channel. Coming up next, you guys, Brianna, she's back in the house.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue, at TheOliveShowStore.com.
creating a log of evidence for the future prosecution of ICE agents and officials responsible for this.
Tim Walz is emboldened by what amounts to organized crime with badges and budgets.
We've got a couple groups on the app Signal that we would love for you to join. Whether or not you want to be a part of the resistance network, I fully understand that you may not be comfortable with that, but if you see any suspicious vehicles, any traffic, if you know of anybody that is being targeted, that's being detained, we have resources immediately available.
Independent journalists and undercover ops have cracked open encrypted Signal chats used by radical left networks to dox, stalk, harass, and straight up impede federal ICE agents during the ongoing immigration enforcement chaos in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cam Higby's infiltration of these groups blew the lid off.
This is John 612, that we are at Grand and Lake. We're heading toward Irving. We can try and join you.
Signal chats are buzzing with anti-ICE operatives, and local police are complicit, cooperative even, with real-time access to national databases for tracing license plates, courtesy of law enforcement insiders, as well as shift changes leaked from within departments.
And quit referring to these people as law enforcement. They are not law enforcement. We have law enforcement who do an incredible job.
Anita Smithson, dispatcher in the Ice Watch chats, Minnesota State Senate candidate, BLM supporter, Indivisible Minnesota member, and a big Walz Ilhan Omar backer. She is allegedly using her U.S. bank risk management job for potential access to license plate databases to aid doxing. The chats coordinate rapid response ambushes on federal officers, share real-time locations and personal info, all while tying directly into state-level political operatives.
We just got this message, and it says, we know that you're in Minneapolis, you're with O'Keefe and his crew of Nazis, you're in a white Ford license plate, they actually wrote the license plate down from Florida, you have 1 hour to leave or you're dead.
Peggy Flanagan, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, allegedly exposed as Flan or Flan Southside in the chats.
Show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line. Put your body on the line.
Amanda Kohler, Tim Walz campaign strategist and protest organizer, identified as a top administrator in the MN Ice Watch Signal Group, training rioters in tactics like salute, a strategy straight out of the Ice Watch playbook for obstructing agents.
I want to move my car! I am disabled! I have a brain injury!
Kohler's LinkedIn brags about her ties to Monarca, an Ice Watch offshoot listed as a resource on the Minnesota government website under the Office of Ombudsperson for Families, no less. John Otte, media press figure allegedly participating in the Signal groups, highlights coordination between activists and journalists to shape narratives around the protests and incidents.
We're not ICE. Why are you guys following us?
We're following them because they were following us.
Well, you look suspicious as
speculative ties at this point keep swirling around Governor Tim Walz himself as the alias Boogie. Broader allegations point to dozens more State House Senate representatives, gang members, and even media embeds in these networks. This isn't some fringe chat. It's allegedly a coordinated effort blending government insiders, campaign staff, Antifa elements, and media to obstruct federal operations. These claims suggest state-level involvement in protest networks. These are not organic protests. They are a desperate, highly coordinated, state-level weaponized resistance protecting massive fraud.
Over 80% of the Somalia households receive some form of public assistance. Many of them are on welfare. So your first question is, if they're on welfare, how are they getting millions of dollars to send back to the homeland? Number one. Number two, if they're on welfare, why do they need childcare? They're not working outside of the home. Why would there be this number of Somalia child care centers?
If the feds move, we're looking at sedition level fallout that could collapse the Minnesota DFL or Democratic Farmer Labor Party machine overnight. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's a bit of a different venue for me, of course. We are live in West Palm Beach right now. And as many of you guys know, Texas got a little bit of snow. And it's very unusual for Texas. But we are here, we are live, and we're going to be joined by incredible guests. Mayor Rudy Giuliani will be with us in the third hour of the program, live in studio. And do I look forward to talking to him? Abso-frickin-lutely. We learn so much from the mayor every time we speak to him, so that will be a great one. But I'm joined right now, live in studio, with my girl, Mel Kay.
Hello.
Mel, thanks for having me. I mean, I've been, you know, hanging around, sticking around, so this is good.
Well, thanks for coming down to see us again. You left not too long ago. We've missed you.
Thank you.
But we love that you're in InfoWars. So, yeah.
Thank you.
We deal with it. But glad to have you.
You know, I have to say, it's very cold today, too, here in Florida. I didn't sign up for this. I definitely didn't sign up for this. Speaking of not signing up for things, though, we're going to have Jorge Ventura on in just a moment. We're going to be talking about Minneapolis in this part of the show, mainly because, folks, if you've been watching what's going on over there, it's a well-orchestrated, they'll call it a protest, but it's not a protest. It's nothing like a protest. These are terrorists who are taking over. This is well-orchestrated, well-thought-out, well-planned. And how do we know this? Well, of course, there's a new Signal group chat that has been exposed thanks to the great work of Cam Higby. But most importantly, we know this because he's also releasing some of the videos that are happening. No, seriously, folks, you're going to want to buckle up for this one, because in clip one, you're going to see how these left-wing terrorists, it's not a joke, this is really a thing, they do healing Zoom calls before they begin their terrorist meetings, and they practice this meditation music. And someone's actually singing to it. It's bizarre, it's weird, and I'm going to force you to watch it. Take a listen. All right. If I had to live through that, I had to make you guys all go through it as well. Sorry for the suffering, the pain and suffering we've caused. But folks, obviously that's freaking insane, right? But it's the most innocent thing in all of this. Right now they've been exchanging messages back and forth, planning, plotting, and we know we have the proof now. We see that they're even doing training manuals, which is insane, but they are a well-orchestrated group of domestic terrorists. Now our federal government, who continues to say, we're investigating. Well, everything's been laid out for them. And unfortunately, we're not really seeing much in the way of movement on this issue. Joining us now to discuss, who's been on the ground for all of this and can probably give you some better insight into it because he's dealing with these folks, is Jorge Ventura. He's an independent journalist who just recently came back to us. He was over in the corporate media for a little bit, and now he's going back to his independent roots so he could do things like this. Follow these groups, these riots. And Jorge, it's an honor to have you on. I know you're very excited to be out there and to be front and center with all of this. I wanted to get your take on this because you've seen a lot of the violence that's unfolded over these last few days in Minneapolis. What's happening on the ground there?
Well, in the last recent days, the energy has really focused on targeting the hotels where protesters and some of the rioters are thinking that ICE agents are staying. just two nights ago, one got really violent at the Home to Suites by Hilton, here in Minneapolis. It was an area where protesters believe federal agents were staying. Around 9:30 Monday night, they started to, target that exact, location and just destroyed the lobby. And it was just a kind of chaotic scene. When I got there, the roads were actually blocked off by the rioters. They had, like mattresses, wooden pallets, blocking the roads. They also had, individuals in their own vehicles line up and just nonstop honking, beating on, like anything, like wooden pallets, using, snow shovels, hammers. You can see in that video, you know, smashing the windows, vandalism, and targeting, any hotels with the federal agents. This particular night got actually really scary because, federal agents got deployed, to this scene. They actually used like flashbangs and tear gas to move out the huge mob there. But one of the, people in the crowd were able to throw some objects and actually hit one of the federal agents in the head. And I believe after that moment, he was, concussed. I don't know, Brandon, if your producers could pull up the scene, but there's a shot that I captured where the federal agent is like pleading for help. He's like, where is the local PD? And he was actually pleading.
We actually have that soundbite, Jorge. We could actually play that for you guys now.
Yeah, we could play that.
Jorge, because you captured this and I wanted to give you credit because you were front and center in all of this and you were actually trying to ask him some questions here. So let's take a listen to clip two.
Oh my God. Are you okay? I'm fine.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Where's the local PD? That's my question for the press.
Okay,
where's the local PD?
What's your message to the local PD, sir?
No.
Okay.
Well, the mayor.
Very chaotic.
And state forces
are getting things. Messages. What was your message to the protesters that want you out of me?
Yes, no comment. Please, Chris, back up. Back up. Please, give me some room. It's me and 30 people. Please, get back.
I'm also a paramedic. You are
being
can I help you?
I'm fine.
Sure.
I'm fine.
Sir, you're giving comment to the local PD. Do you have any comment to the community, the people that want you out, the people who are here?
Jorge, obviously this is really upsetting. The email, we're just talking about it. You know, he's not the demon here. He's not the person to blame here. But yet, sadly, I mean, he's sitting here trying to say, where's local PD? And we know that local PD has not been cooperative in all of this. What actually was going on behind the scenes there?
Yeah, you know, I think that moment is so powerful because it's kind of like a microcosm of this Minneapolis story where federal agents have been essentially abandoned by local PD, from the local mayor to state government. And actually, like, as soon as that video starts, the first voice you hear is actually, he's a friend of mine. He's also was reporting that night. It's Anthony Cabasa. You hear him say, oh my God, are you okay? You can't see it too close in that shot, but he was like bleeding in his hands. He seemed very disordered. You saw in that video, he kind of stumbles. And it was just kind of shocking just to see that moment on an American city. We're talking about a federal agent here. Eventually they were able to clear out that area. And then last night, another hotel was targeted, this time in Maple Grove, just outside kind of the outskirts of Minneapolis, where they believe Commander Bovino will stay. Now last night we saw a much stronger response from the Maple Grove local police department. But just once again, just a chaotic moment. The whole lobby in there was destroyed. There was a moment where I was kind of standing there just kind of looking at the madness. And there was like a father and his child just standing there looking very just like worried of the situation, not knowing if these people were going to storm that lobby and end up attacking them. So it's getting really out of hand. It's not just dangerous, obviously, for the federal agents, but also just for your average American who's staying in these hotels. So, it's really turning big. I think now it's not, I think we talked about it last time, Brandon. I think my biggest takeaway so far is just seeing how organized, Minneapolis here, from the activist protesters just to like your regular local person, extremely organized when it comes to just getting all the details on where these agents are staying, doxing their license plates and just putting out all that information. And, you know, it's likely that another hotel will probably be targeted tonight, to be honest.
Well, Jorge, I mean, you're on the ground there, and you're the one who's interacting with these folks. By the way, if you don't follow Jorge Ventura, he's on the ground right now in Minneapolis. Do just that. He's on X, at Ventura Report, and make sure you support his work as an independent journalist, because he's on the ground with the Daily Caller right now doing just that. But Jorge, I want to get back to this, because you've actually dealt with this crowd, too. They recently posted your information because your videos are going viral, and it's really upsetting these left-wing terrorists, and so they flagged you. But I want to play this clip from James O'Keefe, because James just released a little segment of his bigger story that he's going to be releasing later today. And in it, they're actually targeting him. They're throwing frozen water bottles at his head. Take a listen to clip three.
James! 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 James!
They're everywhere.
Shut the doors.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We're pressed.
Do you know what the First Amendment is?
First Amendment.
Yes or no?
They threw a frozen
ice brick
at the car.
Yeah, and so obviously they were trying to get James to show his ID. They were actually, and you'll see it later tonight when he releases everything, they wanted to ID him to see who he was. Jorge, is that the kind of same things that are going on with you when you're on the ground there? Because I saw that you posted on Twitter that they did put up your photo, and they are putting out a warning about you specifically.
Yeah, it's very aggressive, and the tensions are high on the ground. They're looking for just anyone who's critical of them. And I mean, anyone that follows me know that like my reporting is not like extreme or anything. I just literally report what I'm seeing. And, you know, part of the story is obviously them causing all this violence. So they're targeting reporters. And the thing is, the reason why this is important is because this also deters reporters from even following them. So it's a very selective few that really get on the ground. I have to say what is kind of helping me out in a way and kind of giving us an advantage is that it's like sub-zero temperature. So like all of our faces are obviously covered up and things like that. So, the good thing is I have, you know, a ton of experiences from the 2020 riots, kind of just know how crowds and these mobs work, but you always just have to be careful. But, at least from, you know, speaking for myself, it's just not going to deter what we're doing. You know, we want to kind of continue to shine a light, to show Americans what's going on here in Minneapolis. And I think what's kind of shocking is it's just how long it's been going, and the energy hasn't died down. I've always kind of thought like, you know, Portland was probably the city that I experienced probably the most kind of left-wing violence with the activism and the organization. But I have to say Minneapolis really takes it at a whole nother level. And there's really no signs of slowing down. Yesterday, like I said, was like the first time I saw like a super strong response, but that was a Maple Grove police department. And now they're like, I posted this out of the locals are letting me know that Maple Grove, you know, leans more conservatives, also in the outskirts of Minneapolis, but many of these hotels are being targeted are right here in downtown. So it's likely, I mean, who knows what happens if they'll try to target a hotel where Tom Holman is staying now that, you know, Holman is here in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, you need to get tougher on that issue. Jorge Ventura, thank you for joining us, and please be safe when you're on the ground over there, because I know this is very, very scary what's going on right now, and they're after everyone. So please be safe and keep us posted on all things that are going on. Jorge Ventura, folks, give him a follow on X. Support good independent journalism. He's at Ventura Report. That's how you could find him on Twitter. He's doing great work, and I know it was an all nighter for you too. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right, I got my coffee right here.
Yes, my friend, you need it. You've earned it. You know, probably earned something a little stronger than a coffee, though. Jorge, thank you. All right, folks, I've got Mel Kay here in studio. We're going to talk about this because, Mel, the Signal chats are the big one, right? We've known for a while these are all well-orchestrated riots, that this isn't a protest. The media keeps telling you, oh, it's a protest. Protests, I always joke, and I sound like an old person when I say this, but protests don't happen after 8 p.m. So what do you make of all of this? Because we're seeing that there's actually a training manual that's being passed around amongst all of these people.
They've been writing training manuals for years. Let's be honest. It is not a coincidence that this is happening exactly where Operation George Floyd happened. Mm-hmm. This is all, and if you've never seen the great Liz Collins, The Fall of Minneapolis, it's hard to understand what happened to Minneapolis in the wake of the George Floyd situation, including the very unfair and insane trial of Derek Chauvin and other police officers. So you, when you're looking at this and you're thinking, God, why aren't the police officers stepping up? Well, they were all, anyone that was a legit, really law enforcement person, not ideologically aligned with Waltz and Fry and Omar, is gone. Mm-hmm. So this is what happened to a lot of places where the defund the police, no bail, no jail, all the things that came out of Black Lives Matter that didn't help Black lives at all. In fact, made it really far worse in their communities than it was before. This is the result of it. And frankly, the entire operation that was the George Floyd situation took over this whole country. It was exploited right from that same area, the same political players, the same infrastructure. And again, we've been telling people for years about the Sunrise group and some of these other groups. They are very well organized. My issue is that we supposedly have the best intelligence in the world, let alone I think we all know about the 702 warrantless surveillance. We know about the NSA. There's nothing they can, if they want, to see on your computer, on your phone, anywhere else. Signal, I firmly believe, is totally in operation as well. Just like, you know, they can see anything anywhere. So to me, what I don't understand is the intelligence community not stepping in. What did the FBI do, actually, at this point, if this is not something that they were on top of before? Mm-hmm. And why aren't they still defunding these people? These are the same groups that funded Black Lives Matter and called it a peaceful protest and burnt down the entire city of Minneapolis that still really hasn't been repaired. Yeah. And again, Minneapolis is a gigantic crime scene. They're talking about, you know, first it was $9 billion, now it's probably around $18 billion, and it's the tip of the iceberg. This is going to happen in every Democratic state, and I don't understand, because they can arrest the governors. So why aren't they holding people accountable? Governor Waltz should have been arrested already. Certainly, they have tons of evidence on Ellison all the way back to George Floyd. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a lot of stuff. I mean, Derek Chauvin is sitting in jail. You know, I don't think he had a fair trial. But remember, Ellison settled with the Floyd family before they even took the cops to court. So what we're talking about, it's been a rogue situation there. Civil rights don't matter. You know, Ellison and his son were very proudly open about loving Antifa. Waltz has this crazy history. And the thing we should also think about is that Eric Holder came out, of course, and said that they vetted Waltz to be the vice president of Kamala Harris because he was picked, Holder said yesterday to Jen Psaki, because he had the infrastructure. What infrastructure? Yeah. So to me, this is not a coincidence. George Floyd was the operation that led to the figuring out how to do it right. And here we have the same thing. It implodes right in Minneapolis, and this is supposed to be a coincidence?
Yeah.
It's not. And I'm telling you, everyone should see that clip where Eric Holder says to Jen Psaki that he vetted Waltz, you know, a 30-year relationship with China, all kinds of fraud, all kinds of, you know, sketchy stuff in his background, stolen valor, and he was the best that Holder and the Democrats could do for vice president of the United States with all these question marks. And here we are now, and he's some kind of hero. Thank you, Minnesota. Thank you, Minneapolis. Why do the people of Minnesota, aren't they outraged that their taxpayer dollars for children, for elderly, for healthcare, for Medicaid has been looted and laundered out of their state?
Yeah.
The people should be furious, but we're not seeing the people because they've been here before. And most people that could have left this area left after the George Floyd riots and they burned down Minneapolis. I strongly suggest people watch tonight the fall of Minneapolis to really understand that this is not new, probably like COVID. I think the George Floyd operation there was a test case. And don't forget, the George Floyd situation surrounded a giant they were counterfeit money ring.
Yes.
So, and then all the buildings involved in that money ring were burnt down. Mm-hmm. So a lot of evidence, I think, was destroyed after George Floyd. So to me, this is just a continuation of Operation George Floyd. But it's not being funded by Americans, and that's the biggest problem. And to me, I don't understand. The FBI, NSA, DNI, all these people have extraordinary, I believe, unconstitutional ability because of the Patriot Act to find anyone anywhere at any time, mm-hmm. and yet they still haven't turned off the money.
Yeah.
You know, this is my hardest part to understand, because I've been for 6 years on stage breaking down the money. I mean, we're glad we have Data Republican and Mike Benz and all these people, but this knowledge is not new.
Yeah.
Millie Weaver, a lot of people were out there, Santilli, for years turning over like this is stop the money. If they shut off the money, they end this. And then it's a bunch of crazy people. And frankly, these people are not, you can't debate them. You can't speak to them. They are, their brains have already been, I mean, I don't know if the, what to call it, but it does seem like a mass MK Ultra kind of triggering mind control thing. And the craziest part is it's not about Trump. Mm-hmm. So every time that they bring up Trump or we got to get rid of Noam, or there are probably 600,000 trafficked children mm-hmm. that the Biden White House lost track of. Who's going to find them if not ICE? And I believe that most of them are in sex trafficking, labor trafficking, not to mention the adults that are being trafficked and all of the networks that have been built over the last 4 years of the auto pen. You know, this is very dangerous. And to think that the ICE guys are the bad guys. And I want to say something too. A lot of these ICE guys aren't coming in. They have ICE agents in Minnesota that live there
yep.
with their families and everything else that are in serious danger. And everyone is siding with the illegals. The illegals that stole their taxpayer dollars and sent it to Somalia.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is wrong with Americans that they don't understand? This was a controlled demolition of the United States of America that essentially started after World War II and is coming to a head right now because of the disruption, frankly, of Donald Trump being elected in 2016 and then uncovering a lot of criminality that the American people can see with their own eyes. And yet the people of Minneapolis and of Minnesota have been through this before. So, you know, it's just, you can't really say that it's not organized when it's ground zero for Black Lives Matter is now ground zero for, kill ICE and destroy America. And again, it's never about what it's about. It's for these people. These are revolutionary communists, Marxists. It's always about the revolution. It's never about what they're saying. So they couldn't care less about ICE or deportations. What they care about is furthering the revolution of overthrowing the U.S. government and capitalism because most of these people don't have normal jobs or aren't raising kids. I don't know has time to do this at all unless they're being paid. So, again, I think what we have to realize is this is just a continuation of the controlled demolition of the United States of America that started, frankly, after World War II but kicked into high gear under Obama and Holder. Two radicals trained by the Weather Underground, and this is just an extension of that.
Yeah, well, it is an extension of that. And, you know, we're going to have the mayor in studio in a little bit.
Great.
And I want to ask him specifically about the point you brought up. I mean, the FBI continues to tell us, oh, it's an ongoing investigation. When Charlie Kirk was assassinated, we were told that all these left-wing groups were going to be targeted in all of this. And I was expecting the next day after his funeral services, Mel, for doors to be ripped off the hinges.
Me too.
And nothing happened. And here we are again giving these strongly, even Pam Bondi said it. She said, oh, I wrote them a strongly, and she caught herself because she didn't say the word worded. But she did send a strong letter over to Walt's office. Now we know that Walt and it looks like the mayor, Jacob Frey, had a conversation with President Trump. We'll talk about that in a little bit because from what it sounds like, he's being criticized, the president, for being a little softball on the two.
He's in an impossible situation. The truth is they want him to call the Insurrection Act. Norm Eisen and his lawfare friends have been planning this for years.
Yeah.
They have playbooks from 2016 forward about They stopped allowing real elections because they stopped allowing the people to decide who runs this country. Now it's this lawfare group and this international money that actually runs our country. And if we don't start to understand that these lawfare people put all this in place. This morning I saw Mark Elias out there cheering himself on because now Minnesota doesn't have to turn over their voter rolls. Why wouldn't they? Why doesn't every American want just American citizens to choose our leadership?
Yeah.
Because we don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've replaced by the people for the people to who cares who wins the election because we're going to destroy the country after it anyway.
Yeah, well, folks, right now we're about to hit a quick break, but before we go there, I wanted to tell you all about something that I'm very excited about. I've actually been bothering my control room about this for a bit, the guys over, the whole team, because I've been very excited, been trying these out. Alex just launched these new energy shots, and they are absolutely incredible. They're so good, Mel. No caffeine, all vitamins. They're available right now over at the shop. It costs you less for each shot than a glass, or I guess I'd say a cup of coffee. Head on over right now. Check these ones out. They're amazing. We'll be right back with more to discuss.
Now, this new product is incredible. It's from our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human, you love the green powder. Super nutrient, the very best out there. Well, this is Optimal Human Nootropic called Mind Fuel. Introducing Mind Fuel, a super healthy, super strong energy nootropic adaptogen, which doesn't make you sick, doesn't have a letdown. It is incredible. That's just a few of the bottles. Look how many bottles are in there. And I only drink about half a bottle a day. It's so strong. Look at that right there, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what comes in each box of this. And it is simply amazing. Osmo Human Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, no crash, no blood sugar spike, can be used daily without any guilt. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. It's also got all these other incredible compounds like citicoline, alpha-GPC, GABA, supports mental clarity and focus. It appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. High-quality electrolytes and B vitamins. More than a brain shot, true functional fuel. Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel, that's the name of the product, isn't just another energy product. It's a smarter alternative for consumers who demand clarity, control, and clean performance without compromise. Get 25% off for life when you become a subscriber, canceling time for free. Get Mind Fuel now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you've never tried the original superfood greens, Optimal Human, you really want to get this as well. It's the best green food I've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of cool collectible knives and more. And that's what funds us, and that's what does this. And I really appreciate your support because I can't do it without you. So I want to commend and thank the listeners. But just like I steered you right on gold and silver 2.5 years ago, I got out of the market before that. I said, now's the time. I was totally right. Just like I steer you right on politics. These products are incredible. Get our ultramethylene blue. It is the best in the market. Our Shilajit is the best. Our Irish Emos is the best. Our turmeric is the strongest. Ultimate turmeric. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You are missing out. You don't get it. I want to thank those that have supported. I want to challenge those that haven't. What are you waiting for?
Ultimate power. The drink that turns you into a beast. With power beyond your imagination.
Well, it's not like that, but it's pretty close.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us live from West Palm Beach. Mayor Rudy Giuliani will be with us in studio in just a bit. So buckle up. We have a big show ahead of you guys all right now. But I'm excited to be joined by two incredible people right now in studio. Mel Kay is joining us, the host of the Mel Kay Show. Also the author of Americans Anonymous, what everyone at home needs to go grab right now on Amazon. That is the plan on how we're going to save this country. And I highly recommend you get involved. You can find her on X as well. Mel Kay Show is where you can find her. As well as Hunter Gaylor joining us. Yay. He's the founder of Spencer Pruitt. And we're very honored to have you on today because you're an incredible strategist as well. And a great mind when it comes to the political space. So thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure. No, it's amazing. I think it's great. So yeah, obviously, you know, InfoWars is where the real info has the wars. So, so it's great.
Better be acting like it.
Well, no, that's totally true. I mean, you know, I was watching the segment earlier that you were talking about with what's going on, and you were saying interesting how it's like where George Floyd in the beginning of it. People don't understand, like in warfare, And if anyone has ever studied, you know, war in general, there is tacticians, there is strategy, there is like logistics. There's a lot of stuff that goes into pre-planning this stuff. So it just doesn't, as you said, I mean, listen, I work every day very hard. I wake up in the morning, I get my stuff done, and I go home. I'm too tired at the end of the day to go sit here and riot at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be at a bar. You know, that's what, so you know these people are being paid. There's an infrastructure around it. There's a banking apparatus around it. There's an entire logistical. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, I'm glad that you're bringing the attention to it because all of the mainstream media news is not talking about it whatsoever. Yeah. And that's a big problem.
Yeah. Well, and if they are talking about it, they're talking about it like it's a peaceful protest or like it's really sad. I feel very bad for these ICE guys because I do know that much of this is they are trying to find all of those trafficked children on top of all of this. We have hundreds of thousands of children that were put through that border. Most of them probably sex trafficked, if not worse. And, frankly, who's going to find them?
Yeah.
You know, like why doesn't that matter? And how about, all the infrastructure? Everywhere that there is this kind of fraud, there's going to be the exact same thing happen. We're going to see it in LA. We're going to see it in Detroit. We're going to see it in Chicago. We already have, Brandon Johnson. Again, we have allowed people to get away with stuff over and over, and they are emboldened by that, and they think that nothing's going to happen to them again. And frankly, accountability hasn't been had. So
yeah.
Are they so wrong?
Well, no, Mel, I think accountability hasn't happened. That's the real frustrating part here. And speaking of, I kind of want to shift the gears a little bit over to the H-1B visa issue because we keep learning more and more fraud. You know, my girl Sarah Gonzalez is knocking on doors and just asking simple questions in Texas like, hey, you got like 20-something people who are apparently supposed to be working for you here at your home. Where are they? And then she finds that they really aren't there. And so there's always allegations floating around. But Dallas Express is also jumping on board with this. And they recently uncovered something massive in Texas as well, that Texas A&M has been spending a lot of money, a lot of cash on these H-1B visas. So joining me now to discuss the reporter who's behind all of this, please welcome to the show, Kellen Jones. He's been digging into all of this as their senior investigative reporter, and it's an honor to have him back on today's program. Kellen, I want to thank you for being here. I know you've been digging into the H-1B visa issue, and I know the governor is now responding to all of this. So break down your latest report.
Brianna, thank you so much for having me on again. It's wonderful to join all of you. This is a months-long battle that has finally culminated just this morning in a little bit of action. The battle started around Thanksgiving when I asked Texas A&M, under a Texas Public Information Act request, to give me the documents on how much they had spent hiring H-1B workers over the last 5 years. And 2 months went by, and they hadn't handed over the record. Now, as a lot of your listeners will know, and as I'm sure you know, typically under the Texas Public Information Act, they're supposed to give up the records after 10 days. Well, 2 months go by, and finally I've had enough with Texas A&M, and we reported them to the attorneys general. That was the 22nd of this month. And then did a story that we'd reported Texas A&M to the attorneys general. And suddenly, then the documents materialize. Now, what we didn't know at that time is that the governor was looking into this issue, and he demanded the internal records from A&M as well. And we'll talk a little bit about how that ended later. When I got the documents from Texas A&M, what we found is that they spent $3.25 million over the last 5 years hiring H-1B workers, mostly according to national data from India and China, to come to Texas to do jobs. Now, what jobs were they doing? It wasn't the super high level, this is the Einstein of Calcutta or the Einstein of Beijing, and they're so important, we're going to bring them over on an H-1B visa and give them tenure right away because we have to have them right now. These were low-level, generally speaking, instructional roles. Many of them were for instructors or the types of professors that don't have tenure. And in some cases, we found that they were applying for communications manager jobs, graphic designer jobs. In several cases, we found that they were applying for software developers. And so I did a little digging, and I found the job descriptions to be a software developer at A&M. And you need a few years of experience in computer science and to have a computer science bachelor's degree. Brianna, 1 in 4 computer science majors at the time these applications were put in are unemployed or underemployed. Of course, underemployed means that you're working a job and you're totally overqualified for it. So 1 in 4 Americans either can't find a job in this line of work or is working a job they're overqualified for. And Texas A&M is spending $3.25 million to hire aliens to do those jobs. And they couldn't explain why. I asked the university, I asked the president of the university why they had spent this money and why they hadn't invested it in American students. Of course, Texas A&M and the Texas A&M system can hire and create anyone they want. They can identify talent in high schools and in their university system, and they can produce any expert. Yet they've chosen to hire alien labor. And it looks like they've hired about 650 H-1B workers over the last 5 years.
And the governor's now responding to all of this, too. I think I've heard you say previously. What's the latest coming from the governor?
That's right. Thanks to the Texas Tribune, they gave us credit for setting all this into motion. The governor, according to Bullpen, it was reported this morning, is going to announce today a halt to the H-1B visas in the public sector. Apparently, since the reporting last week, there's been a review going on while he has battled with A&M for his own documents. And we're expecting today he's going to announce some halt, but we don't quite have all the details yet.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. Hunter, you're a business owner. I mean, what do you think about all this?
Well, here's my issue, right? And obviously he knows exactly what he's talking about. And I commend him for the research and just what he's doing to expose this. The problem is when you look at the visa program in general, internationally, as a business owner, I want the most skilled, qualified people. Now, not to go off on a tangent, it's sad that we're not doing and investing in the American kind of first system. And that goes into rabbit holes we can go down with the problem with our education system and all of the other stuff. But the fact that they're abusing the system, once again, abusing the system. So my question is what other visas are they doing besides the H-1B? What other visas that we're not talking about or thinking about? That's what I want to know, because it's not just the H-1B visa. There's like a bunch of other visas as well.
Right.
So, you know, the problem is, and I don't know the real answer to this, but at what point are we following who's benefiting
right
from getting the H-1B visa?
Right.
Because if they're just bringing people in and they're in these know-nothing jobs,
what's the benefit? Where is the kickback? Where is the money?
Like, that's what I want to know, because if I'm trying to bring these people over and they're not qualified for the job and I'm just trying to get it, what's the scam?
But if they're saying 1 in 4 computer programming majors, even out of Texas A&M, are unemployed, well, it obviously isn't America that's going to benefit.
No. And by the way, you know, I didn't get an engineering degree, right? I got a bachelor's of liberal arts and studied, you know, political science and global finance, et cetera. And what I've never understood is we get these people over from China, and I went to an okay school, not now, but, you know, okay. And here's the problem. The guys in like a CS50 class, which is like a computer science class, these guys are wicked smart, right?
Yeah.
Wicked smart. And, you know, whether you look at the top engineering schools or whatever, you know, these people that they're bringing over, they're killing us.
Yeah.
It's the controlled demolition of the United States of America, and it's been going on a long time. And a lot of this also has to do with I believe there's been an out and out war on young men in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So who are mostly computer majors? I would say probably young men.
Mm-hmm.
Our son is one. So to me, they need experience. They need those entry level jobs, and they're not even being, you know, looked at for them, because these H-1B, things, they are in the ads. They are only hiring that.
Yeah.
They're not saying if there's not enough Americans to fit these jobs, then we'll go to them. That's not what they're doing.
Well,
and that makes you question. Yeah.
With
the benefits.
My big issue is with Vivek Ramaswamy, right? Because when you look at what he was talking about, and I won't go into his background, but you know, that remains for another conversation. And some adult beverages to go along with it, because that's what I need to be able to even talk about them, is all of the big tech, little tech people pushing this visa thing for people that are performing, right? You're hurting America by doing that. But what the corporation is doing, I'm going to put the business hat on for a second. The business hat is saying, where can I get the same level at a cheaper price? And if I can just bus them in from India, mm-hmm. right, and have a bunch of Indians here because it lowers my labor costs, yeah. right? It increases my profit margins. Of course, I'm going to push for that. And I'm going to find a way to abuse the system because at the end of the day, it's always about the money.
Well, I actually want to ask Kellen, because I know your investigation is not stopping here. Are you looking into any other colleges in Texas right now?
Yes, we are. We've got an investigation going on with UT. We've got one going on with Tech. And we've got some investigations going on with local school districts as well. I'll be putting out a report in a few days that Dallas ISD has obtained about 1,200 approvals for H-1B workers over the last 5 years, and they spend a ton of money to execute that system. And there'll be some more details with that forthcoming. The point is that every university in Texas, just about, at least public universities, are using H-1B visas. And part of the reason for that is that there's a carve-out in the federal law that there is not a cap on university hiring of H-1B visas like there is with the private yeah. sector. The private sector has to compete for about 85,000 visas. The public sector gets about as many as they want.
That is so crazy. That is so crazy. Kellen McGovern-Jones, my friend, thank you for joining us again. You're doing an incredible job over at the Dallas Express. You're the senior investigative journalist. And folks, give him a follow on X as well. Cowtown Callers, where you could find him. Kellen, thank you for joining us in this great report. I look forward to having you back on after you get some more information, too, on these other schools, because I'm sure they're not going to like it when you expose them, but it's really, really important. So thank you, Kellen.
Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. I want to bring it back to you guys because, you know, we obviously are sitting here going, what the F? This is insane that they're able to do this. And there's really low restrictions on all of this. It doesn't really scream America first. And you don't expect this from Texas. So they tell us all that Texas is a red state. Oh. So you would never expect this from there.
Yeah. Well, we all had an intelligence briefing that Texas is not okay.
It's not.
There's a huge problem in Texas on multi-levels and it has been allowed. Also, I just want to say this is, you know, I believe that we've been living through the Cloward-Piven strategy of collapsing America from within by oversaturating, having illegals come in, but also people on the social services and Medicaid and all of that. What's sadder is that all three of us know that an entry-level job is where you really learn.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn everything in school, but once you get that first job, that's where you really learn to interact with teams. You learn responsibility, deadlines, all this important stuff is the first job, the entry-level job. What is happening is entry-level jobs are no longer going to young men, American young men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a real problem. So we have to also look at it, the bigger picture as to these ads for these H-1B visas. There's also all the ads that are for basically, if you're a young white man in America, don't apply. And this is across the board with entry-level jobs, which is how people start their careers. So essentially, what they're trying to do, it seems to me, is to create a generation, I would say, of young men that don't have the opportunity that was promised to Americans
yeah.
as for our future. They're mm-hmm. taking away the purpose.
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
you know, it's like when we were laughing last week, it's not funny, but we were laughing how Elon Musk was saying that the Optimus is going to take over raising our kids.
How scary.
And our pets and right. and taking care of our parents.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this seems to be kind of the similar thing. Like, you know, we don't really need those young American men anymore. We're just going to demoralize them, put them into unemployment, get them hooked on drugs, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, what else, what's the other option? If there's no jobs for these people yep. and they'd prefer to import
well,
people.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, you know, in studying of politics or following politics or whatever, you know, when Newt Gingrich was running for president, mm-hmm. right, there was a very famous line he had in one of the debates. And it was so pivotal in my professional growth of what he said, because it's so true to the strength of a nation. And he said, I want to create an America where a young man or a young person can get a job, learn the job, and one day own the job.
Exactly.
That is the upward mobility right. to strengthen a strong working middle class. And when you start outsourcing that responsibility, you start killing America, right? And we've been doing it because we have not been going out. And I say this all the time. Look at our trade schools. We have an aging. My parents are aging out, right?
Yeah.
They're out of the workforce. Look at all of the companies. Look at the plumbing jobs. Look at the best thing out there is I think someone like a Dirty Jobs
yeah.
where they're showing you all of these things. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that our entire, your life and this is I have a personal vendetta about this, but what we have done with this online world, right, with regards to OnlyFans and the sexualization and overeasy of how easy it is for these people to just, you know, not care about society, not care about how they, you know, go work and get a job and make an honest living like that. Where do you think that phrase comes from? Make an honest living.
Yeah.
You get up every day, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you get to work. We grow up now in a I want it right now, right? Get me the dollar menu in the drive-through lane. Let me get it now, right? Mm-hmm. That's not how America was built. It was built on grit. It was built on exceptionalism. It was built on all of these things. And what we're doing is we're robbing the future.
Yeah.
Because we are not equipping the people with the environment to be able to create and to grow and to innovate.
Well,
we're just not doing it.
But our universities have become businesses.
They're no longer educational bastions. Harvard, I want you to think about this. And I said this on one of the shows. I said Harvard is a hedge fund with dorm rooms.
I know. I've been saying it too. And you actually went there. So you know that better.
And I could tell you their endowment is like, you know, quote me guys, fact checkers, go fact check it. What is their endowment? $53 billion.
You know who runs it? Penny Pritzker.
Yeah. So, and you look at these other endowments that are around there and these tax things that they're doing.
And they're nonprofits.
Yeah.
Schools. I mean, they're hedge funds attached to schools. And then the thing, particularly about Harvard, and I went to a school that has done the same thing. What is also going on is that then they started, changing their criteria to get in, to get people in there that they can then groom to go out there and be activist teachers and work at NGOs and all this, not to be innovators, not to be entrepreneurs, not to be that,
yeah,
but to be operatives in their, you know, revolution.
Well, they don't, from personal experience, and I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed my time at the university, but, you know, because I was involved.
Yes.
Right? I wasn't a plant from the Chinese government.
That's what's going to say next.
Like, you know, sorry. Hey, CIA, I didn't get a call. Look at me. I look like James Bond. Look at me. Come on. You know, like, where's my call? You know, so the problem is in the universities now, they have changed. And I think I was probably one of the last classes before they really went woke. I mean, I was there when they were pushing with Al Gore. So Crimson, Harvard doesn't have a mascot, right? So it's just the Crimson, right? So they said,
it's violets.
Yeah. So it's Crimson. And they had the whole campaign. Green is the new Crimson. Because they wanted to go green. And they wrapped the little toilets, right? The flusher, right? Press down for one and up for two for water conservation. I mean, it's just
That's
a joke
insane.
What they've done. So they've been manipulating the students now into almost these training centers, right?
Oh yeah, they're NGO.
Directed. They're not teaching anymore.
No.
I'm not sitting down and learning.
They're at the schools of education. They are teaching teachers to be activist trainers. I mean, it's just really pathetic at this point. But I'm telling you, we really have to start paying attention to the war on our young men in this country. Everything from the Me Too forward and then the Women's March and then, you know, somehow including women. All women are also on the same level as all minorities somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked, I'm pretty old. I've worked for a lot of people, at least 75% of the CEOs or high level people I worked for have been women since the 90s. So, I mean, this whole thing, but I mean, this is robbing American young men of opportunity on a major scale.
It's hurting, like for me working in global finance, I can tell you that when they started pushing for all these major corporations that are publicly traded, this diversity stuff, where you have to have like minorities and women and stuff on boards.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything against women, but
it's a safe place.
No. Right. I feel like I'm, you know,
the new view.
But no, the problem is, okay, so I'm going to put someone on my board, right? That's not qualified, but fits a rule.
Yeah.
That the NASDAQ has or something
like
that. You gotta be kidding me.
But it's part of the overthrow of, they want to overthrow capitalism. Like these are hardcore Marxist communists. And maybe if the Weather Underground and all of their friends that were actual domestic terrorists didn't get pumped up and put into the universities and then basically train Barack Obama, Bill Ayers, and Bernadine Dorn, basically trained him to get to where he was. Well, that is what we're dealing with. We are dealing with people that are sole Linskyites. The revolution is the win. And the more that they can disrupt America from within, they will. The problem is that we have law enforcement and military that should know better.
Yeah, and I want to actually get back to the foreign thing here, because I remember when President Trump just a few months ago was talking about how these colleges, these universities really need foreigners to come in because they're the ones who are keeping them afloat. And he extended the Chinese
He should have never said that.
Isn't it so infuriating? And it's never really been corrected, and we're still giving thousands of more visas to these Chinese CCP spies.
But here's the thing about that, right? And I'm glad you brought that up, because this boils my blood, right?
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, right, and people joke. I know for a fact, right? I know for a fact there are organizations out there, okay, that are pipelining in from the Chinese, paying to get their kids into these Ivy League schools. Now, what people don't realize is go look at all the federal judges, go look at all of like a bunch of the judges, the courts, the lawyers. They all went to the same alma mater. You don't think they're collaborating with one another?
Yes, they are.
They do it. Goldman Sachs does it. If your daddy worked at Goldman Sachs and your mom is pretty, guess what? And you have a kid, guess where he's going to get a job?
I know. But that's the thing that I say always about lawfare and these law firms of these, people that are out there basically bailing people out immediately, no matter what they do. This is all coming through the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, NAACP. Do not forget that when Eric Holder went in, the revolutionary himself, nobody really ever looked into Eric Holder, but now we're finding out a lot of things about the cartels. We were talking with Lara Loeb yesterday. She was talking about the cartels are really embedded. Peter Schweitzer just put out a very disturbing new book about all of the infiltration of the Mexican cartels all over America, all these consulates, all this stuff. Well, don't forget about Fast and Furious and arming the cartels.
But they want to sweep that under the rug, Mel.
It's been held
because no one's talking, until heads start rolling and people start being perp walked, they perp walked our president, right? That's why we were saying, I know we were talking about this over the weekend, but like, we need real serious accountability if you're going to fix the system.
And let's
right?
be very honest, both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama put out letters, and don't forget, Hillary Clinton's thesis in college was about Saul Alinsky, the original revolutionary with the revolutionary handbook. We have to remember yesterday, both Clinton and Obama basically backed up the rioters.
Yes. Well,
calling for it again. And Hillary Clinton, she wrote her thesis about this. She was in love with Saul Alinsky. He's rules for radicals.
Yeah.
Like, these are not good people. The controlled demolition of America has been going on for a very long time, and they've all been in on it.
Yeah, I'm going to step in here because we're about to hit a hard commercial break, but I want to tell our audience, we got Mayor Rudy Giuliani joining us in studio in just a few moments. You're going to want to sit here for that because we're going to talk to him about why we haven't seen much in the way of prosecutions going on right now. We're seeing a lot of left-wing terrorists, obviously, fleeing to the streets of Minneapolis. And not much being done. We have a very clear RICO case, and obviously he's the king of RICO, so we'll ask him about that in a little bit. But in the meantime, folks, I'm really excited for today's show, mainly because we just launched these new energy shots, and they're absolutely incredible. I actually, the ones you see in this video, you're going to see in a second, I actually drank them all. They are absolutely incredible, these energy shots. They are all natural, no caffeine, optimal human mind fuel. I'm telling you, this is the one you're going to want to snag over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there. We just launched them now. When you subscribe, it costs $4 and something change for each shot, less than a cup of coffee. This is a total game changer. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got four or five One, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS, Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Engulfed by the smokescreen of the ongoing ICE raids and the anti-ICE protests.
This is not just about resistance here in Minneapolis. It's about love. So you've got people uniting and coming together in this beautiful way.
After the shooting of Renee Good, the coverage of ICE on CBS, NBC, and ABC was 93% negative. 93% negative is not journalism. It's tribalism.
Let's keep our eye on the ball.
How high up do you think the message went that there was fraud? Do you think it made its way to the governor's office?
I struggle to believe it didn't. I have to believe that the governor's office and Keith Ellison's office were aware of this. They've said they were involved in helping the FBI. They've said they were made aware.
Mr. Dexter, could have something been done about this earlier?
Yes. As I stated in my opening testimony, in the years that I worked there, we identified how fraud was occurring, the loopholes that existed, and we...
What were some of the warning signs, Mr. Dexter?
Well, the fact that part of our job was to go and collect attendance records. We would find attendance records that were either incomplete, non-existent.
But I can't understate it how frustrated Minnesotans are right now with the level of fraud. And the lack of accountability. Assistant Commissioner Moore said that through the SWIFT system, through your accounting system, you know who you're paying. You know the people who you are sending money to. You know their name. You know their business. Frankly, you probably know who they're connected to. And through the tools across state agencies and across all of the executive branch, from business registrations to what they have to file with the Attorney General's office. All of those tools exist. So why are payments continuing to people who have been convicted of fraud?
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's inner circle has been riddled with explosive ties to one of the biggest fraud heists in American history, the $250 million Feeding Our Future scam.
The brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color.
Three of Frey's own appointees got nailed. Former senior policy aide Abdi Nur Salah pleaded guilty to wire fraud. Shamarke Issa, twice handpicked to chair the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, copped to wire fraud and restitution in the millions. Abdik Kadir Inanche Muhammad, tapped for Frey's community safety work group, faced indictments in the same rotten scheme. Add in campaign max donations from at least eight indicted players, plus Frey's own wife, Sarah Clark, lobbying at the firm that shielded Feeding Our Future itself, and you've got a tangled web of proximity, appointments, and unanswered questions screaming conflict and cover.
Look, the fraud's real. We've all got to acknowledge it. The fraud is very real, and by the way, when somebody commits fraud, and there are many that have done that, you investigate it, you charge, you prosecute, and yeah, you put the person in jail. as an individual. You put the person in jail as an individual. You do not hold an entire community, any community, accountable for the actions of individuals.
Fry claims ignorance and distances himself. But how long can the distraction go on for this city under siege by its own local and state government?
Who are the funders, the orchestrators, the facilitators of these riots and these efforts to impede lawful enforcement?
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited to have you all here in the third hour of the program. And I'm a little excited right now because one of my favorite people are here. But before we go there, I got to remind you all, we're taking calls in the third hour of the show, okay? So if you want to call the show, you want to jump on in, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to be taking your calls in about 25 minutes. So if you want to join the show, talk about the topics we've discussed thus far, that's the number you're going to call into. But man, oh man, am I excited to have Mayor Rudy Giuliani sitting right by me right now. He is the host of America's Mayor, which is live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on X. Welcome to the show, Mayor. We're excited to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, Brianna.
Yeah.
Really great. Listen to you all the time, so it's great to see it live.
Well, thank you. We're very
excited. You're terrific. You're all terrific. Great work for America.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, we've got my favorite people here as well, so this is going to be a great conversation. Mel Kay joining us, host of the Mel Kay Show.
Yeah.
As well as Hunter Gaylor, who's obviously the one who's helping us and hosting us today. As many of our audience knows, they're like, Brianna, why aren't you in Texas right now? I got stuck in West Palm Beach due to the fact that Texas doesn't know how to deal with snow. So Hunter was very gracious and let us deal with that here.
I know.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
Cry.
In beautiful, sunny South Florida.
It's right? A little cold. You guys.
This is the new Southern Command, by the way.
All right. I'll come back.
Like 3-4 days. It seems like
it sure does.
Yeah.
Roosevelt had like the White House in Arkansas or something.
Yeah.
We would call it the something White House. We should call this like the Palm Beach White House.
Yeah, the Palm Beach White House.
I think it's a good idea.
So the Mar-a-Lago White House would be better.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. No, I think, well, maybe you could put in a word. You might have it here.
some things I just started saying and you picked it up. Most of the times I used to pick it up from him. Well, we've known each other 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So during the 16 campaign, mm-hmm. I literally spent 4 months with him. I wouldn't say 24 hours a day, but the way he works.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I was like the one person who could stay with him. I saw a thing in the press from Marco Rubio mm-hmm. saying that he's ashamed to fall asleep on Air Force One because Trump never sleeps.
Yeah.
So he curls himself up in a blanket and he puts himself, puts it over his head so he looks like a staff person.
Oh, that's so funny.
He goes where the staff people are. So he won't go by and see his Secretary of the Treasury, State, sleeping.
Yeah.
And I can remember that. And Trump used to love it. He used to come, and he'd come and get me, bring me in, then let's walk. We always say, look at all the kids. They're all sleeping. Look at all those kids sleeping. You're not sleeping. You're an old man. I'm an old man. You're not sleeping. Look at that. All sleeping.
Yeah. Well, that was so funny because the last time I had dinner at Mar-a-Lago, I was like yawning and ready to go to bed. And it was around 11 o'clock at night. Well, he was still ready to go. Yeah. He's like,
take it.
No. He's going to be doing the DJ all night there.
I know. He had his patty. He was ready to go.
Anyone else? Yeah.
It was quite impressive. I actually felt like a loser. Yeah.
That's just me. Also, he's calling.
Yeah.
It used to be. He's much better at it than when he was a younger man, but. And I think in this administration, he hasn't done it as much. From the first administration, like you'd come in, there'd be four people in the Oval Office. One guy, I go, get him out.
Yeah.
I remember that video when someone coughed right in front of him.
That's funny. They had the thing.
The pee tape.
When they had the thing that he peed on the bed. The guy is a germaphobe.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in Russia.
Right.
Or Canarsie.
Oh my God.
Did you see there was the Wall Street Journal interview where he's in his office first running and he says he said Shaq gave me the shoe and he's holding it by the string. He's like, aren't you afraid of germs? He's like, from Shaq? No, you know, but that's a big foot. He's holding it by the string.
Oh my God.
It's almost over it now.
Yeah.
He's almost over. I mean, I could see.
Well, he's had to shake so many hands. You got to kind of get over it. That would, yeah.
Like when he first started, he used to use a script. He would put a scripto in his hand.
Right.
And instead of shaking it, he'd sign.
Right.
Which people loved. I mean, they loved it, but it took too long. It was one thing to shake hands, right. One thing to sign 100 on the way out and your next appointment is waiting. So he's gotten to the shaking. He's even gotten to the hugging thing now.
I know. I saw a couple of those.
Hey, when you look God right in the eyes and you stand back up, sometimes
when I'm Italian, I hug.
Yeah.
Me too, as an Italian, both of us.
But Andrew Cuomo, don't let them get away with that creepy stuff he was doing. Okay. Remember he tried writing off as being an Italian?
Son Andrew Land.
Yes.
If I were forgotten. Yeah.
Yes.
And he would go, when he was greeting women and they would come up, he would tend to hug. He would say, I'm Andrew Giuliani. Please, I'm going to hug you, but, you know, not the same way. Not the same with other Andrew Johns.
Right. Exactly.
It's so true. And it's kind of strange, right? We have a president in the White House right now who's not sniffing the heads of babies. So it's been a real change.
He really deals with them so beautifully. He's great.
Yeah.
He didn't care of my kids. I mean, he was very, very special to Andrew. He's like an uncle.
Yeah. While growing up.
My son. Yeah. He helped me a lot because I got divorced. There was a certain amount of friction and the president used to play golf with him all the time. And tell him how much his father cared about him, how much his father loved him, and how you have to, whatever's going on between mom and dad, because you've been through it, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
They both love you.
Yeah.
So don't let either one of them, because sometimes they won't know it. They may try to spill it over on you. And it was enormously, I mean, it was just beautiful. That's one of the reasons why I get so angry when they try to make him a bad man.
I know.
You want to fight about his policies? I'll fight about it. Sometimes I disagree with his policies. What I can't stand is he's come from a good place.
I know.
His policies come from a really very solid place.
Well, I mean, I've said this as a business person. When you look at the enterprise that he's created and what he has gone through, right? I mean, you remember I've watched documentaries and I've seen, you know, because I've been following Trump since I was a little kid. And, you know, because you look up to a guy like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got his name on airplanes and casinos and hotels and all this stuff and vineyards and he's building golf courses and documentaries and all this stuff. If I were in his shoes, I would be doing exactly what he's doing because I don't want the stuff that I'm building, even on a personal level, forget about the rest of the country, just on a personal level, the amount of stuff he has and for the country to just ruin all of it for him.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. I think it's bigger than that. I think what I've always noticed about him, even from 20 years ago, watching him with Tiffany when she was a little girl, he has so much love for his children and his grandchildren that you don't see that kind of, I mean, they are everything to him. You know, when he's down here, he rarely goes out and he really likes to spend most of his time with his kids for real.
You know, and he never really exploited it. Even now, it's covered a little bit more. But it's not the way other politicians do. The way they, you know, they're constantly taking pictures with their kids around.
Yeah.
They're around appropriately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're around appropriately, and he talks about them. But he tries hard to keep them. And I'll tell you, you're really right about this. When I represented him, they used to constantly, the horrible fascist Mueller people used to constantly leak, we're going to indict Don Jr.
I know. Yeah.
We're going to indict Don Jr. Now, I knew the case backward and forward, and all my lawyers did. They had nothing on Don Jr. Yeah. Nothing. If they indicted him, even a Democratic judge would have thrown it out. And I would tell him, Mr. President, first couple of times I was worried, so I checked it out. By the third time, I said, Mr. President, they do this to get to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they used to do it before. They even, so blatant. He'd be going off to a meeting with the European leaders. He'd be going off to a meeting with North Korea. Mm-hmm. And on that morning, they do it.
It's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
And these people are evil.
About three or four, he finally got it. And
right, but you know, but still
then,
your kid.
Even then, even when it was like, it was the fourth time or the fifth time, you could just see it was different when it was, he could take it for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was much harder when they started going after his kids.
Yeah. That's how sick these people are, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
They did it to Michael Flynn, too. His son. They went after Flynn's son, too, and threatened him.
Michael Flynn, I think, should be capital punishment.
Well, me, too. Yeah. Well,
and Mueller James Cardinal Comey is the one who did that.
I know, but that's the issue right now. And we have to understand that people really do want accountability, and we're not seeing it. And it is upsetting a lot of people. And it seems that nobody can really, I mean, we have to hold people accountable.
100%.
We can't. But this was a seditious conspiracy. And the worst part, Rudy, is that most people don't realize it was global. It was not just the Obama administration. They were working with the UK, with the MI6 and everything. This was a global overthrow of a duly elected president of the United States of America. And Tulsi Gabbard comes out in June, says we have evidence of treason. We have all of this, and people want treason to be something that matters.
Yeah, Mayor, what do you think about that? Because that's the real frustration of the American people right now, is we're not seeing prosecutions.
I believe that I'm going to give it the best interpretation possible. Mm. I think we've confused weaponizing the justice system, vengeance justice, which they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With an appropriate use of the justice system, which is what we should do.
Right.
That's correct.
We're not, I don't want to see us prosecuting some stupid little guy who worked for the Democratic Party and followed their orders or whatever. But not to prosecute, let's just pick on Comey for a minute. Four times the guy lied on a Pfizer application. I helped to establish Pfizer.
Yeah.
I did numerous Pfizer applications, mostly against the Russians. I took it as a sacred obligation.
Right.
Because nobody ever checks it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of affidavits for search warrants. They go to court. They fight with me. They find a mistake or no mistake. I have to defend it. Pfizer application, nobody ever gets to see. And I get to see everything about you.
Right.
And I was trained when we did Pfizer. I mean, we were lectured. This was during the Ford administration. You just make sure that you check it over and you check it over and you check it over. And then you had one or two officials you could bring it to if you had a question. And then all of a sudden, years later, had nothing to do with Pfizer for a long time. Mm-hmm. I see him signing an affidavit that says that all the information is verified. And then I see him saying on television that it was never verified. I mean, the affidavit is right from the headline, a lie. Then he says, I couldn't corroborate it. It was impossible to corroborate this type of. I'll give you one piece of information. In the affidavit, it says that Michael Cohen went to Poland and met with two operatives of Putin to set up some real estate deal on a specific date. On that specific date, Michael Cohen was in Los Angeles at a baseball tryout for his son, who I was either trying to get into the college or the major leagues. I forgot. Now, I helped to start Pfizer. I know the rules we followed. It is hard to corroborate. But anytime you see a fact, that's a corroboratable, if that's a word, fact. All you have to do is call a passport. You just say, you just call the passport office.
Right.
They take the FBI's call. And you say, I have an entry here. I want you to take a look around this time of year. Pull out Cohen and see, was he in Prague? Well, first thing they'd say is no. Then you'd say, well, maybe they got the date wrong. Was he ever in Prague? And they'd say, no. Now you'd say, let's figure out where the hell he was before we sign this thing. Go, we got a problem. One more. They have an incident where they claim they went into a consular office in Miami for maybe Ukraine or whatever, some country. Ukraine. Let's say Ukraine. They don't have a consular office there. Now, that's another corroboratable fact. What you do with a Pfizer thing is you take out all the facts where there could be external proof for you, write them down, and then you make calls, and then you put it down to protect yourself.
Right.
So I would have, if I did that, called, and I would have said, Is there, where is the consular office? I'd assume it's correct. Where's the consular office in Miami from Ukraine? They don't have one.
What?
Well, did they have one in 2016, wherever the date was? They've never had one. Never, never, ever. Where's the closest one in Florida? They don't have one in Florida.
Wow.
Now I got two.
Right.
Now I could go through the whole, I'll give you eight that are just on their face. That thing got signed four times by federal judges. Four times he swore it was accurate. Four times he said he corroborated everything he could. All of it's a damn lie.
Yeah.
In order to intrude on the privacy, first of a candidate for president of the United States, and then on the president of the United States.
Yes.
If that's not prosecutable,
it has to
nothing
be.
Is. Nothing is.
Yeah.
Right. No, perjury is prosecutable.
No.
The problem is, we were talking about this over the weekend. The problem is what you just laid out for the audience, right, is fact. If I said, where were you on the night of his murder or whatever of a crime? Oh, well, I was at a Huawei gas station in this place. There's no Huawei gas station there. Doesn't
right.
exist.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's my alibi. I was there. That's what he's saying. That's it. I was there. And they don't do any verification. And the judge, okay. That's crime.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm but people you, aren't held accountable.
I'm going to tell you an embarrassing fact now.
Oh, God.
I hired Comey originally.
I know. He was in the Southern District.
I hired him as an assistant U.S. attorney. He was, from all I knew, more better than average assistant U.S. attorney. Not like top of the class, but a guy that can handle complex cases.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great opinion of him when I left. He was with me for 3 years.
Wow.
I was there for five or six, but he was there for three of them. I first became, and I kind of supported his career. I was close to President Bush and recommended him highly. And when he got into that thing when Ashcroft got sick and they had to get a warrant, and he wouldn't sign the warrant, and he went all the way to the hospital, and he required that Ashcroft sign the warrant, even though the guy was, like, in serious post-operative condition, and he made a big deal out of it. I said, that's weird. This is a guy that's a game. Oh, I know. It was actually before that. It's when he prosecuted Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's a celebrity prosecution.
Unbelievable.
There's no way. One time insider trading, we always made it civil. Always, always. I pretty much started insider trading prosecutions. And it's a tough law to understand if you're not into finance big time. Mm-hmm. So you always took a first one as a big civil fine. And then the second time, I'll put you in jail.
Right.
But now you get a big name.
Right.
And they had a cold. And it was just completely, I thought, gee, Jim, I wouldn't have done that. Why did Jim do that?
Mayor, I want to ask you too. I mean, this is InfoWars. So we could float some conspiracy theories out there. Why do you think James Comey has changed? I mean, this is the guy that you knew and you thought he'd be great for this position. Yeah, because this is what we see. This is a common theme here where we push these people into positions because we think that they are going to do the best jobs possible and they betray us.
It's a combination of several real character flaws. One is obviously a very, very raw ambition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two is self-righteousness. That's why I call him James Cardinal Comey.
Right.
He always comes across like he's morally correct.
Yes.
I don't know if, because he's not really a liberal. Liberals all have this, they're morally superior to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, coming from New York, having once been a Democrat, but not a liberal Democrat, a conservative Democrat, which is almost harder than being a conservative Republican.
Yeah. Yes.
And then having left, I'm one of the world's experts on debating with liberals. And they are very smart, very often, a lot better than the people we have now, but they are completely know-it-alls.
Yeah.
I know everything. You know nothing. You wouldn't believe in God if you were really smart.
Right.
Smart people don't believe in God. And he's like, I don't mean he doesn't believe in God, but he has that I'm smarter than you are and I'm more important than you are thing about him. And then I guess he's just a dishonest human being.
Something else has to be there.
There are so many things he did.
Yeah.
That he probably had grand ambitions to be attorney general, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he knew the only way he was going to get there in a crooked administration is to be crooked.
Yeah.
And Clinton and Obama both ran in particularly Obama, entirely crooked administration.
Yes.
Obama gets away with I was going to say murder, but I can't prove murder, but he gets away with everything else.
Well, yes. Look at the Clintons, right? I mean, how many friends do you have that have been assassinated?
Not many.
Yeah. I mean, they have what? What's their number up to? 70 something?
A lot of questionable stuff with Clinton.
This is the big problem that I've never been able to understand as someone that grew. And you have to understand, this goes back. I've been involved in politics. I have a picture of me shaking Rudy Giuliani's hand at Ron John's Surf Shop when he was running for president.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And so what I've never understood about, you know, the right is they always want to be and like this moral high ground Christian type thing, but yet the left just does whatever they want. They get away with it and they have no accountability. Meaning if I get in trouble, I'm going to jail, straight to jail, right? These people, they commit a crime and it's like, hey, congratulations. You committed a crime. Do you want to commit another? And they do it time and time and time again. They blatantly sit in front of the camera with all of the people up in Congress and lie.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is there a mechanism? Or do we not know something? Is there immunity? Why is nobody ever held accountable inside the government?
How long have we been going through this? 20 years?
Yeah.
25 years? I still don't believe it. Like when I see Swalwell.
Oh my God.
Saying to myself, why would you put Swalwell on? Yeah. You know he's lying.
Yeah.
He's incapable of telling the truth.
Yeah.
He isn't. And they just begin lying and they continue to lie. And they put them on over and over and over again. And some of it is the conspiracy with the media. I mean, some of it, I used to think it was just liberal, their ideology run amok.
It's bigger than that.
Way beyond that.
Yeah.
Much
yeah.
more corrupt.
Yeah.
It's driven either by blatant Marxism.
Yeah.
Like I spent last night and early this morning researching Tim Walz again.
Right.
And but here's my problem with Tim from the day he became a candidate. No one ever really did a good investigation of the connections with Red China.
No one.
And they
Correct.
Are just a big one. Crying out for investigations. I say, having not answered the questions, I'm entitled to come to the conclusion that he's a Red Chinese operative.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out of college, a small little tiny college.
Right.
I doubt he had good grades. He's so dopey. And Harvard recruited him. This sounds great. Harvard recruited them to go to China. Well, half the people they recruited going to China turned out to be Chinese spies. What are they recruiting them for?
Yeah, we're just talking
about
that.
To get brainwashed.
That. Yeah.
Now, he spends a year and a half there, has an affair with a Chinese woman, a girl who was the daughter of a big shot in the Red Chinese local party, right? He jilts her at some point. He comes back in love with China.
Right.
I got a whole bunch of his quotes about the recent one. How about this? And nobody says, how stupid is this? You know, it really would be helpful in the Middle East if we brought someone like China in with the kind of moral suasion they have. Yeah, the kind of moral suasion having killed 100 million
totalitarianism.
Yeah, that's the biggest murder.
Child per family.
Remember that?
They make the mafia look like an order of priests.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous statement. It could only be made by a fool or a communist.
Right.
Communist, for sure.
The famous one, you know, one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness. Or,
yeah, whatever.
Early in his career, he had all kinds of things. China's a wonderful place to go. You all should go. Here's the horrible thing. He brought 50 kids to China every year. Had a business, two businesses, him and his wife. You cannot figure out who was paying. Nobody's looked really carefully at the record.
Right.
We know China paid for some of those trips.
Yes.
Now, China is not going to let you go back and forth teaching without knowing exactly what you're teaching and approving it.
Mm-hmm.
China would, I was using one of the AI things because I fight with them, you know.
Yeah, me too.
And this, yeah, I go crazy on them. So this one, I asked her for the trips and she says he went there during a period of time when China didn't really do surveillance.
Yeah. Oh,
I say back to it, you are either a naive fool or a communist.
Mayor.
Because there never was a time that they didn't surveil you. Never, ever, ever since the day the communists took over.
Right. Mayor Giuliani, thank you for being here, my friend. We're so excited to have you on. I know. I could talk all day.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you could feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I'm actually still joined by Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Yay.
He liked it so much that he's sticking with us for a couple more minutes, and we're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to join the show. And we've got a roundtable of incredible guests as well. Mel Kay joining the show as well. She's the host of The Mel Kay Show. Also author of the book, Americans Anonymous, which I highly recommend you go get right now over on Amazon. And you can also follow her on X. Mel Kay Show is where you do just that. We also have Hunter Gaylor also here. He's the founder of Spencer Pruitt, and he's also America First strategist. And so this is why everything's working out well over here right now, because we're all America First in the room right now. And so this is a big one. But Mayor, we have you here right now, and we wanted to dive into some calls in just a second, but you guys are kind of going back and forth. I know you were hot on a lot of topics that you want to keep talking
about. Well, I thought you said, you know, InfoWars is big on conspiracy theories. I have to contribute to the conspiracy theory about the attempted assassinations of President Trump. First of all, the fact that there were two is extremely suspicious.
Yes.
The fact that each one of these guys, particularly the second guy, made all kinds of foreign trips, just like Lee Harvey Oswald did.
Exactly.
I mean, you want me to believe that he went to Russia and Cuba before he killed Kennedy and there was no involvement of communism? I don't know. Hard to believe. This guy went to Ukraine, and there are plenty of reasons why certain Ukrainians would want to make sure he wasn't president.
Right.
Never even run down. We don't even get, like, the way you're supposed to approach an investigation is common sense. Whatever makes sense is probably true.
Yeah.
Then disprove it. Try to prove it or disprove it. And when you've run those down and you've disproven it, then you've done your job. They didn't even try.
Right.
I can't imagine they sent people to Ukraine, found out he talked to. I mean, I would have sent a boatload of agents to Ukraine.
They didn't want to try. And the most disappointing thing, I think, about all of it is that they almost did kill Donald Trump on live TV in front of the world. They wanted to. And imagine had that happened. Okay. I mean, we are talking about mass trauma of the entire country at a time when we're already in chaos. So again, not investigating it doesn't lead to whoever planned that. And we're not getting to who the criminals are.
Well,
we get this periphery investigation. Somebody approved that to have him shot on live TV, because why was CNN there? It was the only one that they were at filming live that day in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I mean, but for the grace of God, did that not happen? But imagine what would have happened to this country.
No, but look at what happened on that point, right? And the mayor's 1,000% correct, because you have a guy in New York, by the way, that shoots a healthcare CEO, and he's all over the news, and he's like, you know,
so half the country's glorifying.
And they're glorifying him.
Yeah.
And yet we know nothing about a former president that's running for president, and we have Secret Service, intel agencies, the NSA, and we have nothing?
Well, that's crazy, too. I also was the one that released the Thomas Crook detailed report on his social media following. It was me, Tucker, and Miranda Devine who got that.
Yeah.
And sadly, our FBI, which is really disappointing, wouldn't give us comment on it before we released it. Then when we released it, they called it fake media reporting, even though it was all factually true. And it's really discouraging. Before we jump in on that, though, Savage Dog is on the line right now. He calls in from Georgia, and he's one of our most loyal callers. So I want to get him in on this, because he wants to also talk about prosecutions as well. Savage Dog, welcome back to the show. It's always an honor to have you on. You're here with the whole team, so welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
My question, and I'm glad you stayed around there, Mr. Mayor. You know, we got Al Capone on tax evasion. The whole country is screaming, you know, well, the correct thinking people are screaming for sedition and treason and whatnot for, you know, for tongue-tied. Waltz, you know, everything going on in Minnesota. Well, we got a clear-cut case of racketeering and fraud. Everybody thinks that, you know, the prosecution method is go after the low level, they'll dime out the high level. Well, what if we kick in the doors of all the high level for racketeering and they start diming out the low level? Not only will that cease the money immediately to all these protesters, but you could get a whole, like think of the Batman scene where, you know, all the mobsters are in the courtroom at the same time, you know, something like that. What is your take on that, sir?
Well, that's a complex question. The reality is that Walls should be investigated with a task force. And the first thing I would want investigated, and I'd be happy to volunteer to do it, is his connections to Red China.
Yeah.
Because I think it explains everything. Since he hasn't answered any of the questions about it, I feel it's appropriate for me to assume that he's a Red Chinese agent for the safety of my country.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't answered the basic questions like, why did you go there right after college? Why did you remain there for a year and a half? What did they teach you?
Yeah.
When you came back and you established two businesses, who was funding it?
Right.
Well, the Chinese funding it. You took kids there, and now there's a discrepancy. He says he went 30 times. His campaign says he went 15. The big difference between 15
yes,
and
there
15.
Is. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What were these 50 kids taught? Now, were you allowed to teach them anything you wanted? Well, of course not.
No way.
So I got one description of it from people who investigated it, and they said, well, he was just limited on certain things, but he was not allowed to discuss Taiwan, and he was not allowed to discuss the elimination of the Uyghur people or the forced taking of organs from Christians in Falun Gong.
Right.
And I said, well, by the time you finish that, and they come back to America, they come back to America with the same ideas that he's promulgating, that China is a moral force, as he said just 2 years ago. That's brainwashing.
I know.
So he's brainwashed some incalculable number of American kids in hating America.
Right. The other part of that.
He's doing as a governor, almost vice president. And isn't that why? So I think these things that are going on in Minneapolis, which are worse than any place, as they all start there.
Yeah.
It's part of his being a Marxist, and Marx tells you got to start.
Right.
You want to take over a country? Create chaos.
Yeah.
Break down all moral barriers and create chaos.
And question institutions, delegitimize.
He's made Minnesota the mutilate your body capital of the world.
Yeah.
A 14-year-old boy or girl can go there, ask to be mutilated, and they will not tell the parents. I don't know. I think you should probably get capital punishment for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, take a look at the flag of Minnesota.
Oh, right. They're changing it to like the star.
They have changed it.
Yeah. They did.
They officially did. Yeah.
The old flag.
It's not
Minnesota,
the only flag that's changed either.
It's like two, 3 years ago and forever. The flag of Minnesota, if I recall correctly, it was sort of red and orange, something like that.
Yeah, we got the video.
Now it's completely blue and it looks exactly like the
Somali
flag.
There you go.
This is the moment when he actually did it. And keep in mind too, I believe the population of Minnesota is around 6 million and it's only about 100,000 Somalians.
Let me ask you a question.
That could be the flag of Somalia.
That's the, This is,
Even the star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know the official number now of the daycare? It's in the billions.
The fraud itself.
Oh, they have 9 billion, but it looks like it might go up to about 18 billion. And the people of Minnesota should be furious.
So my question is how much is he making off that?
Right. I'm sure plenty. I mean, that's
because you're governor.
But we have the ability.
And it was on his radar.
We have warrantless surveillance 702. We have the NSA. This is a national security issue going on up there.
We should be able to, answer the question, to what extent was he involved?
Exactly.
He clearly was, if you want to give him the best explanation possible, he clearly was the most incompetent governor in the history of the world.
Yeah.
To have such a big thing going on underneath him and he didn't know it.
Yeah. But do you want to hear something that happened yesterday? Eric Holder, who of course turned the Justice Department into an ideologically aligned, you know, weaponized system in 2010, that book Injustice came out about what Eric Holder was doing back then about voting and everything else.
100%.
Well, I'll tell you what, Eric Holder was on with Jen Psaki last night and talking about how he vetted Waltz for Kamala Harris as the VP. And he said that he chose him because he was the only one that had the infrastructure. And I thought, what infrastructure?
Yeah.
And he
That's
said this
a weird word. To
yes. Yeah. And then we think back, is it a coincidence that I call it Operation George Floyd, was in that same neighborhood, was with that same thing, and they defunded
three,
that police.
Three blocks away.
Yeah.
And also, I've had several people, sources in Minneapolis tell me, like at the beginning when they were saying a lot of outsiders are coming in to do this, they said, no, they're wrong.
Right.
They don't need outsiders here. That might be necessary. Yeah. Even in Chicago, it might be necessary. Even in New York, it might be necessary. Here, they have a built-in infrastructure.
Yes.
And if anything, they'll get a couple of advisors to come in. But they don't need ground troops. And that shooting that we're looking at is a rearrest.
Yes.
It's a process. Rearrest. They teach them how to distract agents.
Yeah.
So that the guy can escape.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they were
doing.
They
spotters all over, which
I saw that the report that post spotters from James O'Keefe
yeah.
on what was going on.
100%.
Yeah.
And they've been, they've been training them in rearrest now for about 4 or 5 years. And this was an absolute rearrest scenario. She first distracts them.
Yes.
He then comes to theoretically to her defense. So that takes another agent out, and that agent is like pushing him back. The other agent, so now maybe you started with 5 agents. Now you're down to 3. Probably it got interrupted in some way. There probably was a third one that was going to take out another agent. And at that point, they lose concentration on a guy that was, they wanted to arrest, right, who has a record, who is a violent pedophile. The guy runs away.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. That's exactly what they were doing. Now you go into a rearrest scenario where you're going to basically obstruct justice. And it's like, you know,
so much more dangerous.
It's like doing a prison escape.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're carrying a massive firearm with you. I mean, it's got 91 bullets in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needed 91 bullets to protect himself. Now, of course, he has a right to bear arms. He also has to have some responsibility about it.
Well, if you've seen Liz Collins' great movie, The Fall of Minneapolis, what you see is that everyone that could get out left. And the entire police force that was there were demonized. And never forget, that Derek Chauvin case was, Ellison settled with the Floyd family before they went to trial. So everything's been going on there. This is an extension of that operation, in my opinion.
I think the mayor's made an interesting point, right? And I find this comical because Tim, the governor, I don't know how he's smart enough to pull off a scam. I just think he's just dumb.
Well, so I think that's true too.
He just put
A into B and B into C and C into D. That's what the Chinese communists are good at.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good at memorizing and following a plan. And I'm telling you, if we could get our hands on a video, James O'Keefe, if we get our hands on a training video.
Yeah.
Of a rearrest. And I think
they have to exist.
And you put it next to what they did. I think you could do point by point. You could do A, B, C, and then you can see I was interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a manual that we just recently saw, thanks to Cam Higby, who found that on the Signal chat where they were orchestrating and they're training them. So we know that they are being trained. It's factually true now.
The woman's been going out for years.
That's it right there.
The clear cut.
Yeah, the Sunrise Movement too. This is not new.
The good woman was a trained operative.
Oh, by the way, notice the document. That's ChatGPT formatting.
Oh, interesting.
Of course it is. Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should go on chat and just ask
ChatGPT how to create
a rearrest.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
I'll have to start fighting with them again.
I fight with them all the time.
It's amazing. Yes.
Say, why are you so biased? This is the truth. And I'll put in a real document and be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They don't know I have the real documents.
Oh, I love that. Savage Dog, thank you for calling in, my friend. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Savage Dog.
As always, let's turn to Mad Trucker in Ohio, who would like to talk. He apparently has some fatigue. Mad Trucker, welcome to the show. Do we have our friend Mad Trucker from Ohio going once? His fatigue is.
Oh, there he is.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you all so much, and Mayor Giuliani for being there, and everybody for being there and staying. And yeah, I'm so fatigued with it, and I feel like they're stealing a little piece of my humanity from me, the left, that is, because normally. Even when something bad happens to someone and maybe they deserved it, maybe they didn't, whatever, I would feel a little bit, you know, some sympathy for them. But I just can't find myself to find any sympathy for these people anymore. And I'm it makes me even more angry that I feel like they're stealing that from me, that little piece of humanity from me.
That's a very interesting observation. I'm going to tell you, though, and this is sort of more of a Christian observation. You should. Some of them are deliberate operatives and evil people.
Right.
But a large number of them are just naive, possibly not very well educated, or possibly incorrectly educated.
Yep. Or
brainwashed.
Right. Or they've been on drugs since they were kids. Very easy to brainwash. Look, we really have to understand the age group here. This under 30 is predominantly what this is. Mm-hmm. This is also goes in tandem with the drugging of children and this whole change in the LGBTQ and all of that.
They're paid.
Some of them are
paid. The good woman I call her the good woman, Nicole Good. She, you look at the pictures of her maybe 4 or 5 years ago, she was a normal woman.
Yeah.
She looked like the girl next door.
And she was married with kids.
And married with kids. And all of a sudden, within a 2 year period, she becomes a man, I guess, because that's her wife.
Right. Yeah.
And, she starts dressing and looking like a boy. So she obviously was going through
the evolution.
And then we refuse to accept the fact that that's mental illness.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, if you are
a man and you start thinking you're a woman, that's the same thing as you start thinking you're George Washington. It's called paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah.
It has always been that until these liberals came along and changed.
They normalized mental illness and made and elevated people, particularly online. Online psychological warfare has been the most damaging part of all of this. But it's not a coincidence that many of these people are educated women under 30, because a lot of this is coming from our college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand.
I will tell you this. And, you know, I have an aunt, right? And she was a clinical psychologist, right? And when I was growing up, my dad being a Marine, right? If I was misbehaving or doing something, he's like, go run around the block, go mow the lawn, put yourself to work, right?
Okay,
and then, but my aunt would say, oh, just prescribe them this thing. That's a problem.
A medicine?
Yeah, like antidepressants or ADHD or, you know, if you have some of that. It became normalized.
A lot of these people probably grew up on medication they shouldn't have been on. And it started then. I've talked to people from MK Ultra and about the long game for that program.
They just want to give you a pill. That's the problem. Here's a pill. Take a pill.
To be easily manipulated, like in China.
I have a pill for, I developed a pill with John Rich. I hope John doesn't mind. We're still in our testing phase. It's for, Trump derangement. If you take your pill and you come into our therapy program, we get you over it.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to disclose what we do to you in the therapy program.
Yeah. Upside
John
down.
Will not allow me to. But he guarantees that when you come.
Best lines.
He guarantees that when you come out of it, you're going to be a big Trump fan.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
But there's two sides of the Trump derangement syndrome, because there's also the other side that will not understand that we need to all unite. There's something going on right now on the right that is hurting us. And I believe that also is an infiltration operation. But when you see that people like Tucker and, you know, Candace and all these people are divided going into the midterms of 2026 that we cannot lose, something is wrong on the right, too.
You're right.
Well, going into
something's wrong.
You know, the Super Bowl's coming up, and I always say this analogy.
It could be the Chinese. I mean,
yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah. What I say on the right after, you know, the horrific incident of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And this infighting that's gone on within the conservative party. I look at it like this. Y'all can have and be fans of different football teams.
Right.
You could be a Patriots fan, a New York Jets fan. It doesn't matter. They could be arch rivals and you hate one another, but you love football.
Right.
So the Republican Party needs to say, we love America.
Yes.
Stop the infighting. We love America.
Right. You may have something.
Yeah.
This may not be just natural argument and Socratic dialogue. This may be inserted.
Brainwashing. Mm-hmm.
As a way of inserted on purpose.
How did it happen
for
Nazi Germany? Hello. I mean, it's not that far from.
I think the thing that we don't realize yet. Beginning to, China's infiltration was the most brilliant, the most extensive infiltration ever done one country on another. I know a lot about the Russian infiltration. I spent a lot of my career investigating that to the end of the Cold War. And Russians were nowhere near as good as this. Nowhere near as. They were much easier to find. It was much more obvious. You could flip them much easier, turn them. Plus, the Russians never worked on like second and third generation Russians. The Chinese will go get some poor guy whose family's been here 100 years, and they'll find some connection back in China
and arrest him.
And they'll flip the guy, torture him.
Yeah,
right here in the United States.
I know, and it's been allowed. And there's no way that entire Auto Pen administration. This is another thing. Everyone that ran that Auto Pen should be held accountable.
Yeah,
and the bottom line is they had people in there. I mean, this Donilon guy, he was the main, China guy for the Biden administration. We don't even know who was running the Biden administration.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this guy was the head of BlackRock's, like, entire international investing. And then he becomes the head China guy under Blinken. Like, we should be auditing everyone from 2020 to 2024 when all that money left this country and figuring out where the money went. Why aren't we going after the money? The money with the NGOs, the money with Act Blue, the money with...
Well, how about the Biden money? We never went after the Biden money.
No, and the...
So I gave the FBI under Fatso.
Yeah.
You know who Fatso is, right? And I gave him, in January of 2020, the name of a woman who was the chief accountant for Burisma. And she claimed, so she knew all the books.
Yeah.
She also claimed to have the offshore bank accounts of not only the Bidens, but any number of politicians, American and otherwise.
Right.
And she said, you know, if you get me in the witness protection program, I'll tell you everything. I'll tell you the truth. And this was like, to me, like a no brainer as a former prosecutor, a lot more effective than Fatso. And, because you could find out immediately if she's telling the truth or not, right? She's going to give you numbers.
Right.
Right.
Numbers don't lie.
You're going to go look at the bank accounts.
Yeah.
Either the bank accounts are there or she's lying to you.
Right.
You figure it out in advance. I worked out with her lawyer that she would not get into the program until she turned over all the numbers. We keep her in protective custody. If numbers were right, we got a deal. Numbers wrong, we just throw you out, baby. I mean, you're out. Sure. You're gone. So I left it with them in Pittsburgh. And they were the assistant U.S. attorneys and the U.S. attorney and the FBI agents there, probably all good guys, were very excited. Mm-hmm. And within 2 days, they're calling back my lawyer, Bob Costello, and they're calling back Ted. We need this document, that document, this document. And we feel like, oh, God, we got to get from quickly because we're holding them up. All of a sudden, about 10 days later, the call stopped. And then we call again. And they switched it from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. Then we couldn't find it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the woman is hanging out there. We also told her the woman is in jeopardy of being killed.
It's terrible.
Yeah. We eventually had to work with our people
to
put her in. But I'm going to tell you, that woman's still available, and this present FBI hasn't gone to see her.
No, and that's a problem.
Poof.
That's a problem. Although, follow the money on all of this. We can follow the money on all of
this. We can follow it on Ukraine, on everything.
We should just ask Zelensky to tell us the truth.
Yeah.
And open up the file. I've seen a little of the file.
Yeah.
When I snuck into Ukraine.
Look at what...
A prosecutor opened the file for me, and he started showing me things. And I was trying to take it.
Don't forget, the Obama administration overthrew a duly elected government in Ukraine in 2014.
Yeah.
And then basically, Victoria Nuland gets up on the stand and says, basically, they took over the Justice Department, the financial situation, mm-hmm. the military, the police. Nuland testified to this in 2015.
Right.
I mean,
and Soros built.
He's been there since the 90s.
Soros built the two special prosecutor's office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, Soros is solving corruption in Eastern Europe. He would set up the anti-corruption task force.
Yeah. Right.
And he'd make them separate, the investigators and the lawyers. First thing they would do is drop all the cases against Soros' companies.
Right.
So he would get to do whatever the hell he wanted.
There. Right.
And then they go after his enemies.
Right.
And
it's brilliant.
And people don't understand. They think that Soros...
That's before he did it to our prosecutors.
Right.
That was his model.
Europe.
For setting up... If you take a look at 2020, most of those riots take place in Soros-dominated places.
That's the crazy
where question. The DA is going to let them out.
Yeah, well,
because he already did it in Europe. He came here to do it here. All right, guys. Well on his way.
Well, we need more time. We'll be back. We'll definitely have you back.
This is what the American people need.
I know.
They do.
A real conversation.
They truly.
The Alex Jones Show is next, America. Stay
tuned. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here, and I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a Beggin' right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago, and well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade, but you need something to take care of yourself and your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake, updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pinup girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get as some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser Blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with. But, limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.